I'd like to welcome everybody out here to our 2012 annual meeting for the Deer Springs Ranch Owner Association. Do I have anybody who'd like to volunteer to give us our a prayer for opening?
Where's our agenda for the
day? All right, thanks. Thank you, Dave.
Heavenly Father, we're very grateful to meet here today. Pray for thy blessings to be upon us. We're grateful for this beautiful place and the extended family that we have here at the ranch. And ask thy blessings to continue to be upon us so we can travel in safety. As we say in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, David. All right. Linda, can we get you to do a reading of the minutes from 2011 annual?
That's me. I'm trying to find it.
I mean, Shauna.
Sorry, my paper's all blew away. So I'm going to have to wing this one really fast. Well, that's last month. Okay. If anybody knows anything different, I'll tell them. Oh, my goodness. I don't really know. This is awful. I feel like I've been in a whipped cream more. Like, oh, my papers are everywhere. Someplace. Anyway, last year we did pretty much the same. Nobody changed. My board didn't change. Yes, we did. Yes, we did. We got Kathy Duvall was on the board. She was replaced. Jody Akers was voted on to the board. And Ryan Dudinsky came on. And I think that was all that was changed, right?
Yes.
Okay. The ballots were handed out and collected. We had everybody give up and give a speech for the election. That's normal. We had a presentation by Paul did one on thistles that were on the ranch. Paul was as our ranch manager. Vance did one on the communications for our satellite dish and stuff that was on. We put the new satellite dish and stuff up on the ranch house. Well, the presentation by the Metal Canyon Water Project was handed out by Dale Clarkson. He did a PowerPoint presentation. And then that's while they were counting the ballots, and then a roundtable discussion on the future ranch improvements was going to be held afterwards. Was there anything else on there that we missed? I don't remember anything. And anyway, so the election came out that Jody Akers and Ryan Dudinsky were put on the board, and then we had a wonderful potluck meeting. Oh, and Mark Cram. Excuse me. And Mark Cram, who is now our president. So he was made the president. And
that happened at the meeting, the board meeting.
It happened at the board meeting right after. Okay. Sorry, you guys. I am sorry. I don't have my notes.
That's all right.
Anything else that I'm missing?
Do we have an approval on those minutes from that annual meeting?
I make a motion that we approve the annual minutes of 2011.
I second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Alright, motion carried.
I would like to give a chance, since we just had some people just finally show up, and I don't hear anybody else coming.
Well, I do hear somebody else coming.
To go around the audience if we could, to have everybody stand, tell us their names, their lot numbers that they represent. Let's see if we can speak loudly so we can try to hear it for the recording. Dad, will you start over here on this corner?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, we're good with that. See how fast I move? I'm testing the recording.
Okay, good.
Val Cram, Lot 2, proud to be here.
Steve Browning, I'm just a visitor.
Ron Benson, Lot 249, just got up here today.
Hey, could you say your last name again?
Benson.
B-E-N-S-O-N?
Yes.
Arlene McElroy, living at lot 122.
Dakota and Tandy.
We're forward lot 117, Ben Clarkson stunt double. We are blessed our board members doing everything.
Your lot what? Are you guys good? That's good, buddy. That's
17.
Good.
Alan,
okay, sorry.
16. It's nice to be here today. Mike Duvall, 160. Cassie would love to be here, but a little emergency didn't make it.
Vance Green, 155, 156. Got nothing else to say.
Lyle Willis, 164, 165, 69, and I think 82 or 85. I don't know.
Okay. Dustin and Tiffany Hall, so she's out. 259.
Trisha Shim,
82 and 84. I didn't catch
the name. Trisha Shim. S-C-H-I-M-P.
I thought my wife would introduce me. She must have forgot who I am. I'm Byron. No, she said we're 82 and 84.
You're how do you say it? Byron?
B-Y-R-L-N.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. I'm Gary Stryker, lot 285. Mike Andrews, lot 285.
Mike Andrews, 285.
My name is Christian Church. I'm Kelly Manfred with current ranch manager.
Carl Becker, lot 4.
Bob and Lois Lane, lot 5.
Clarkson, lot
76. You guys, I'm not keeping it.
Robert May Woolsey, lot 220, and we're in flight
game.
That's a mess. Yep. Oh, say hi to the visitors over here.
I missed some of them.
I'm Bill Bodine, this is my wife, Anita. You're interviewing?
Visitors, yeah. There you go.
I'm Paris Rotten. This is my wife, Matt, and we're here first time visiting.
Thank you, everybody. Okay. Moving next on to the agenda, we're going to go into the financial report. Jody Akers.
Did you hear the first part or did I go first?
Either way. Okay.
Just wanted to go over some information with everybody. I know there was concern about last year's raise and assessments.
Explain, you're the treasurer.
And I'm the treasurer, so I wanted to explain how we came to the budget, a little bit of that. So if you have any questions, you can absolutely ask me anytime. What we did last year to put the budget together was about a week, went through the last 3 years of actual numbers from our financial reports to figure out where our real picture looked like. And then what I did was notice that in the past, how many other years from whenever, we have assumed that we would be collecting 100% of the dues. That hasn't happened in at least 7 years. So what I did was base the new budget for the 2012 year on an average of the last 3 years of actual income so that we would know exactly what our income was for those 3 years and we wouldn't be making a budget based on a number that was $30,000 higher. So that's where it came from. When we got that number, we went through all of our budget items. And again, I did the same thing with every budget item. I went through the last 3 years and did an average of what we actually spent. And did the average, place it in the spot for that's what we need to consider reasonable for this year's budget. When we tallied up everything that we thought we needed to do that was reasonable that had been done in the past, we came up $17,000 short. Now, what's happened over the last 5 years, for the average of the last 5 years, we've had to borrow $10,000 at the end of the year from the budget of the next year. I wanted to make sure that we didn't have to do that. So if we base the balance on an actual income, or as close as we could get to an actual income, and we had to raise the assessments up a little bit. We hadn't raised them in 7 years, well, since 2007. So that's why the assessments had to go up. And we figured that we can end up, hopefully, in the positive for the year. And anything over what I projected for coming in for assessments that we didn't anticipate coming in, it's just going to be a cushion for us. So hopefully, we can have that cushion in case something were to come up or roll it over into the next year. Okay? So when everybody understand how that those numbers would come to, or how I came to those numbers, and why the increase in dues was necessary. So if you have any questions about that, I've got all the numbers you can come, we'll talk about it, I'll show you how it played out, and just wanted you to be more comfortable with it.
I'm still not comfortable with it.
Dave's not comfortable with it. Justin.
if the reason why we're going over budget is because people are not paying the dues, don't we have legal means to collect those dues?
Well, we do, and we are in the process of doing that. It's always an ongoing issue.
I understand,
and it's costs.
An ongoing issue, and
yeah.
It's long legally, but
yeah.
I think in the past we have delayed.
Yeah.
Taking legal action against people who refuse to
pay. Right.
Let me just report so that every membership knows, you know, Ryan or Dustin, you were on the board when there was some, when you and I were on the board a couple of years ago, that did get grossly behind. We did, you know,
thank
through our attorney, have gone after that during from 12 to 24 months ago while Dirk Clayson was president. We collected on 95%, all those that were multiple, that were gross in there, you know, behind for multiple years, have now all been collected. There are two that we finally settled this year. That in that process that you were a part of starting and stuff, and then Dirk followed through with, that had filed bankruptcy. It was tied up in a bankruptcy court and stuff. We have settled out on those, and for the most part, one we ended up getting everything but like $50. I mean, that's one thing that I want members to understand. There's been discussion before. There's some that have been unhappy that the board has not waived. You know, they finally said, okay, I'll pay my assessment, but I want you to waive all the interest and penalties. That has not happened. The only one case, and it was under a directive from the bankruptcy court. The judge is the one that said, look, this is all you're getting, and we have no recourse. But it was nearly everything that we had asked for. So the multiple year accounts are all pretty current. In our current economy, we're all struggling. And so in 2011 and now in 2012, the number of people who are behind this year has actually gone up a little bit. So our dollar amount, we still have several thousand dollars uncollected, but that is just for this year, possibly last year, not these multiple accounts that were not collected forever. That has all really been cleaned up.
So where do we stand as far as how many lots are behind?
I'd say behind, clarify the word behind.
Oh, and let me go into a positive thing real quick, too. We have already met that number this year, what I projected that we would meet, so now we're in our cushion mode. But I think there's, we'll have that report.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
She's counting them, hang on.
9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. I'd say roughly 20.
So maybe 20 of the 300 lots are delinquent now.
But probably 16 of those or so are just 1 year behind.
Exactly, that's right. There was a time where we had several that were like 3 to 5 years
right.
Delinquent. They had almost as much in late fees as their actual assessment. It was into the thousands of dollars. It, you know, and that becomes very difficult to collect. We have now successfully collected all of those.
We may want to consider, I mean, just as a suggestion, or we may want to consider
show off.
Late arrival. On those.
We do have late fees.
Yes.
So increase in late fees.
18% is pretty heavy duty.
Yeah, I know it's pretty heavy duty.
There's, I think there's some legal things we can't over exceed from. Can you answer that question about what we can't exceed over for late fees?
Well, usury comes in
when usury comes in
bankruptcy, but I don't know that 18% is usury.
Yeah.
Well, if anything, the board, we've got quite a bit of complaints and pushback that 18 is exorbitant. And we've debated that before. Should it only be 10 or 12? Well, most of us on any delinquent account around our community, you go charge some at the auto parts store and you don't pay it. You're usually paying 18 to 21%. And so that's what it's been for at least 12 years that I know.
If that person's raising our assessment.
Right.
So essentially, we're all paying for those people that aren't paying.
The budget that was worked out by the board was $150,400, and this year we have exceeded that by $1,500. So those assessments that have come in, according to the budget that we worked out, it's come in above that, and that's a good thing. That's our income. Do you want to go ahead, or do you want me to go ahead?
Go ahead.
The monies that we've spent this year, right now we have about $57,000 in our bank accounts that we will use for the rest of the year. We haven't done a lot of the budget items because we lost our ranch managers and our priorities changed. And so, therefore, we put a lot of money into the ranch house. If any of you get a chance, and Chris and Kelly, I'll let you take a tour. The ranch house on the inside is looking beautiful. You may want to take a look at that. Also, Mark has fixed up nearly all of our ranch vehicles. He can probably report on that if you want to know anything about that. Jody has been keeping a really close eye on the finances. She's been really good to work with this year. I've enjoyed having her help out with some of that. We've had a lot of, your paper will say $67,000, but we had a couple of large expenditures come in yesterday that I wrote checks for, so that's why I say about $50,000. The monies that have been spent have also been put into fuel, and a lot of the properties have been graded, and we look forward to seeding those properties this fall. And there's other things that need to be done, but mostly the money that we spent this year have gone into the ranch house and fixing up our vehicles and grading the roads. Thank you to Larry Clarkson, who's done a lot of work on the roads. And then it rained afterwards, so some of them need it again. We'll see them out there on the roads again. We appreciate that. So that's where we're at.
All right. We have a motion to accept the financial report as it's been presented.
I make that motion. I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Yes, unanimous. All right. Next on your guys' agenda, if we read in the bylaws, states that about the notice of meetings, the secretary will mail out to each member the recordings and a member of record notice of each annual or special meeting at least 20 days, but not more than 45 days prior to any such meeting. Such notice will state the time, date, and place in which the meeting will be held. Such notice may be delivered either personally or by mail at the request of several members, some delivered also by email. The order of the business here is just what we're doing here. We are going to, in lieu of some people's times over some personal issues that came up in family situations, we are going to jump right into the presentations of the candidates for this year's annual.
Number six.
We're going to jump right into six. So if you guys are following on the agenda, we're going to jump right into six so that the candidates can all have a chance to speak. At that point, I'm going to ask that everybody, after they've spoke, if they have not already voted, please do so. Vote so that the votes can be tallied while we continue on further with our meeting. For the presentations of the candidates, we're going to go just like it states on the agenda. We're going to go first with Robert Allen, Dale Clarkson, which is also going to be, since he's not here today, he is going to be represented real quick by Larry with a couple of quick words. Shauna, Ken, Robert, and Dave. So if we go in that order, if you guys will please go ahead and stand up and give your little presentation. Your time is now yours.
Okay, I'm Robert Allen, lot number 16. I've made up a list here of a few things that I feel that's important for us. And is there anybody who didn't get a copy of it? That's really about all I have to say.
All right, thank you, Robert. Larry, any words on behalf of Dale? I know you guys talked right before.
I don't know if there's anything particular or special to say.
Even though my name is Larry Dale Clarkson, I don't think I can represent him. Similar to many of you, we don't see eye to eye on everything. They actually tried to talk me into running for the board again this year. Been there, done that. And although I do love the ranch, as he does, and I know he is constantly dedicated to putting in things that help and improve, there's always more to be done at the ranch, whether it's planting or plowing or mowing or cleanup. I think his heart and his intent is always to make the ranch a better place for all the family.
Thank you.
Where did Linda go?
Shauna?
Well, nobody's doing more than 2 seconds, but I wrote a little tiny one this time. Sorry.
Go for it.
I've been involved in Deer Springs for over 38 years. I've seen many improvements since. There have been many folks who spent lifetimes to develop this beautiful ranch that we have today. I remember the roads. There weren't any to speak of. They washed out every rainy season. It takes a lot of effort of many people to make good things happen, but it also takes a person with a lot of vision to see what it should look like in the future. I have been very concerned about this ranch being a place of refuge for our families from this craziness that's going on in the world today. We need to have a place where everyone works together for the betterment of the whole. We need those who have expertise in many areas. We need to have neighborhood communities where we know our neighbors and what services we can offer them and vice versa. I've been working for the DSR activities, working on the DSR activities. This has been our third annual Olympics, and it is actually taking off nicely. Please stop by and look at our display, wherever our pictures went. They blew away. Oh, they're here. Everything blew away, sorry. Then come and join in our fun. I've been in business for myself for more than 35 years. There are 6 of the 7 board members today at this time on the board who are used to making the hard business decisions that need to be made. If you look around, there are many improvements that have been done in the last few years. It is very difficult to get 300-plus members to agree on very many things. It is also difficult to get 7 board members to agree on things. One of the best things you can do for the ranch is to elect people who can make things happen. There are those who don't want anything to happen, and there are those who wondered what happened. I have plenty of other responsibilities and spend all my time working on DSR problems. The ranch is very important to me and my family, just like I hope it is to you and yours. Nothing I hate more than wasting my time fighting and arguing over trifle things. We need a board who takes it seriously and can make things happen, not act like a ball and chain and to keep things from happening. I'm very grateful for all those who have offered their help and assistance for the annual Olympics, and many hands make light work, and it's fun for all. We also learned many things about preparedness and protection. Those who didn't attend really missed out. Sorry, maybe next year. I appreciate your vote. Thanks.
Thank you. Is Ken here?
Ken's not here. He's in the city, but okay. I'll give his little spiel.
All right. Don't worry,
but the blonde wig.
You gonna get the dress out?
What's he gonna do?
Now, Ken.
Make my day.
Anyway, if you don't know Ken, Ken's been a member here since the mid-90s. He's a good guy. He's very involved in the ranch. Spends more time here than just about anybody else as far as a part-timer goes. He has good understanding of roads. He's hopped in on almost every project that we've ever had, we've needed help on. He's very generous with his time. He's very generous with his money. And he's a good guy. So,
thank you, Clark Wesley.
That was great.
All right, thank you. Was Robert here?
I don't think I saw Robert here.
All right. Dave?
I basically second what Shauna said. I have learned in the last 3 years how there are, in addition to what Shauna said, I want to say I understand a lot better that there are two very divided camps at the ranch, which makes it especially difficult. There are the people that want it left just like it is, and as long as there's access to the lot that they own, that's the way they like it. They don't want anything to change. They don't want anything to improve. And then there's the other camp, which I can appreciate that, but I don't agree with it. Then there's the other camp where I want to make this a place for that my kids want to come to just as I have wanted to come here. And so far, it's been difficult to get them to come. It's hot in the summer. We usually come as a group, and so that's why I push for pavilions, at least for shade, someplace to sit. And we don't want to necessarily hang out around here. There's a place to sit in shade, but other places on the ranch. So as I learned in the last 2 years, there are definitely two sides to Deer Springs, and it's difficult to be in the middle of it. So I kind of have mixed thoughts as far as running. Because it's a huge sacrifice, I put pencil and paper, and it probably cost me $4,000 a year to be on the board. And so if anyone thinks I'm being enriched by having a credit for a year's assessment, you got another thing
coming. Amen.
The cost of actually being here if I lose a day of work or two, and fuel and that kind of stuff. I'm not complaining. I'm simply saying it really is a huge sacrifice. It doesn't matter if it's me or someone in town. There's a lot that goes into this and a lot of homework that has to be done. And so if you're running for the board, you better have thick skin because it's not an easy job.
All right. Thank you, guys. Those who have not turned in a ballot and would like to do so, if we can get those things turned into Linda right now so that we can go into the tallying of the votes. Linda also needs some volunteers to help count.
I need 4 helpers. I'm not discriminatory. Anybody that would like to help, you're welcome to do that. This is what we're counting.
Can I bring up the radio?
Sure. To everybody?
Yeah. Everybody listen, this is really, really, really important.
I don't know if you guys know, but we have a repeater on this ranch that gets pretty good coverage throughout the ranch. And I've been supplying the radios for it. And if there's anybody else, I'm going to order some more. Is there anybody else that would like some? Because I could go ahead and order it and get it all at one time.
How much?
$50.
Oh, my gosh.
Sign me up.
Yeah, that's a price. That's a
sign deal. Me up. Yeah. I need 2 of them.
Cheap little
1, 2.
I need 2.
Right here?
You need 2?
Do we need them to talk to each other?
Oh, my God. $50 a piece.
Yeah. 2. Yeah.
So I can find her for 2.
If you want to have private conversation between your own group, you need 2. But these will literally reach almost everyone on the ranch.
You ran out of fingers and toes.
Mary, are you describing what they do?
Well, Bob can describe it, but you can... There's probably 1 or 2 blind spots on the ranch, but you'd have to really look for them. Almost everywhere else, you can communicate from the Podunk over to Slide Canyon. I was here at the ranch headquarters with Brent one day listening, and Bob Becker and Ken Lent and Joe Bose and, you know, the whole network, Vance Green. So
just repeat off the repeater on Fred Searle's line.
Yes, last time. Again,
yep, and if you want to talk from Paige, go to the Taco Bell parking lot.
Really?
Yep.
You got line of sight.
Line of sight. I did some maps for Bob on the coverage of this.
Yeah, theater, I saw your...
And it's huge because we have such a great site for that.
Do you eventually run out of distance? I mean, how much power will these...
You can't go to Phoenix.
Yeah,
I tried there.
Well, because you lose line of sight.
Yeah, exactly. Wait, he called it a 10 yesterday.
We're so well sighted here, it's just unbelievable.
So what is this called, a radio? I mean, is it just a two-way walkie-talkie?
No, it's...
What do you call it? It's a VHF something or something?
It's kind of like a miniature baby ham.
Yeah, Buff's just keeps
the brain.
Trying to get everybody's name.
There's too many acronyms floating around already. But it's you have capability for simplex channels where, you know, like Dale and Larry work a lot together, and they might be up in the meadow and not want to go into the repeater. They don't need to go to the repeater, so they can switch to another channel and actually talk directly to each other and not be involved in the repeater at all. And then, but if you want to talk,
like
for example, Ken Lent, who's all the way over on the other side of Slide Canyon, can talk to why he would ever want to, I don't know. But he can talk all the way over to Bob Becker over on the Ford.
Bob, what's the
it's like a CB where they just, you know, you have one main channel and then you can switch to the other one?
Yes.
Okay.
So what I've noticed too is like when Chris is running around, I've noticed he just, the people here on the ranch, Brent, I think most of these guys always have it on their side, like people carry their cell phones, and they're hearing. The beauty of this thing is if somebody comes into a situation, an accident, hurt, or something's going on in the ranch that's not supposed to happen, whether it's a lightning strike or whatever, there's people that can jump out there and put it out there for others to hear, and people listen up there. They monitor it pretty good. I was quite impressed at how well people do use the radios. Chris, is it ever quiet, really, on the radios? Yeah. Okay. Anything else on the radios?
Okay, let me make sure I got everybody here now. Lynette, 2. Shauna Cox, 2. Mm-hmm. Mike Duvall, 2. Ben, 1. Shemp, 2. Bob and May Wolseley, 1. And Dustin, 2. And Bob, 1. Anybody else?
You forgot me!
Larry!
Let that down as 1.
Larry, you want 1 or 2?
I had already talked to him earlier.
Okay, he just forgot him.
Like what?
Hang on 1 second.
Okay.
Go on faster.
Okay,
right
there. There you go.
Oh,
why?
That's not the radio. It's not yet. That's not the radio.
Okay, is everybody taking care of? Okay.
Yep. Good job. Thanks.
Where'd my radio go?
Right here. Right here. We're holding it.
He's holding it for 75.
That ain't it.
Who's that one?
That's mine.
Oh.
I don't know where I put it.
Check somebody's table.
I've got the ability to go to that table. Oh,
for poor chairs.
See, I don't understand. You understand. You've got great balls.
I want to give like a little quick President's Minute of things that happened on the ranch. Some of you may not know. As was mentioned, with the new board coming in last year, there was a lot put on our plate right off the bat. We had, not only did we know we have financial issues with the budget, we had hurdles we had to overcome. We also had situations with some stale projects that had not moved on for several years. We were working hard with Paul and Nancy on that thing. Unfortunately, Paul and Nancy decided to take a different venture and go a different route and left us. So we were also at that time stuck with quite a detailed hiring process. Long process. We did hire a couple of Jeff and Evie in here for a while, and they're the ones that did a lot on the ranch house. But we since then they've left us also this time too. We have had Chris and Kelly jump right up to the plate and got involved and helped us out real quick. We've had several different projects from, as you guys see, the well field here entirely has been mowed all back out. We're in process of getting some seed. We would like to plant that seed before this fall's over so we can germinate over the winter so we can start to see if we can grow some new grass for next year. On top of that, as you guys have seen, the ranch house has also been mowed down. All the weeds, the snake pits, and everything else is gone. All the equipment has been moved so it can be enjoyed. I hope everybody does take a moment to take time to look at that equipment and maybe bring back some memories of what you can think about on that. There's been a lot of mowing that also up around the lower cabins up in here with the brush hog, as well as the upper ponds, all three ponds. You guys probably that have been around the ranch for many years know that thing used to all be mowed down, and you could always take your family out there and have a ball game or whatever. That's all been mowed back down again, and looks really nice. The Meadow Canyon, all the willows, I'd say 98% of all the willows, along with all of the brush and rabbit brush and sagebrush, has all been mowed down. This helps us with our cattlemen for Doug Hunt. It helps get rid of a lot of that bad stuff so the new and better grass can grow. He is very excited for all the work that we have done. The vault that's up in here by cabin 6 and 7, that project has finally been started, and there's been a lot of roads that have been and floodways have been started to be controlled and taken over, repaired, maintained. The road going back up through Metal Canyon is under construction right now. In the last few days, it's been widened, it's been graded, and we're getting ready to start putting some gravel down on that now. These projects, pretty much as I've mentioned, there's been a lot of cleanup of dead trees and stuff hanging off into the area here. As you guys see, the ranch house, you can tell there's been a big major cleanup for the whole area. You guys, I'm sure, have been here the last couple of years, know how this place has been looking. I have not been happy as president of the way this thing has looked, and so all these things are finally coming around. We have had the majority of everything we just talked about has happened within the last 30 days. With Chris's help, there's been a lot of other members that have offered and helped out a lot. From Mary Clarkson is here, Val, myself, and there's Bob. There's been a lot of people help out, and
Brent worked one day.
Brent, can't say enough for what Brent over this entire last year has done.
Yeah,
Brent. In our absences and short times when we've lost different managers and so forth and the training of and so forth, he has really stepped up to the plate to a level that you guys have no clue. He's an awesome individual. He is dedicated to this ranch, and he's a I'm proud to have him as a neighbor. So there's a lot of people that have not been probably mentioned, and I apologize, but there's a lot of people who have donated not only time, but financial assistance in the bettering and the recondition of the ranch. We have done a lot recently, and we are going to continue to make this thing turn around the way it used to be many, many years ago. That is my goal, and that's what we're going to be doing. If there's any projects that you guys have not seen started happening just recently, or any big issues, I would please encourage you to get with the board members and let us know so we can start looking at how we might be able to do these things. Like Jody mentioned, we're trying to do a lot of stuff, but we're also trying to stay with our budget, so we have to take baby steps. But I think the position and the direction we are now traveling is a positive direction now, and I'm very excited about what's happening. I expect the next 2 or 3 years that you guys won't even recognize the way this ranch looks even today for what we have planned up right now. So, and that's pretty much all I'm going to say for the President's
minister a message for the for this year. All right. Well, let's, we're going to go back over back into department reports. Back on your main page on the agenda, item 4. The roads and fire protection. You guys have probably noticed throughout the ranch there's several different vehicles, trailers, or whatever, loaded with water that Brent has strategically placed throughout in the event we might have a fire. He's really good at monitoring since he's here all the time. The action when we have a lot of lightning in the area, he's very good at that, and somehow or another he gets reports of strikes that he doesn't even see, so he must be in contact with somebody. Maybe the man upstairs, I don't know. a higher position. But as far as roads, yes, this is my area right here, the roads and fire protection. But the roads, we are finally getting on some, a lot of these projects. We have a couple of Title V issues where, with the BLM, the board's going to need to be working on right now to clarify some things with over Lower Slide Canyon, for instance. You know, last year we did have that hurdle where we won with the county and the state over the being able to maintain this actually road here through the Grand Case Grand Staircase National Monument.
RS-2477.
Yeah. So the roads, there's a lot to work yet to do on them. I've driven on a lot of the roads as of the last couple of months. They need help. We're going to try to keep the main thoroughfares open. Can't say that we can get to every one of the properties, but it's our goal sooner or later to be able to access as much as we can for everybody. So that's my report on the roads right now.
One question. Bob Becker. Hold on, Bob. Bob Allen. The culvert out there we put in since last meeting, working good? Everybody's happy over there?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
That handled that last flood we had this last...
Well, I'm just surprised even just driving in the last couple of weeks, the amount of water that everybody's seen. I mean, we've had some heavy downpours up here, and so if they're handling those major events, then that's the critical thing.
During the monsoon, that's good.
Yeah. All right. We'll move to the next item is ranch activity, Shauna.
Okay. Fun. Okay, 2 weeks ago on Saturday, we had our Olympics. I hope you got to see some of these pictures. We had some, and I don't even see our winners here, except Dave Turley. Anyway, yay! Anyway, we had a great lot of fun. There was a young man that came out here with Mark. His name's Brian, and he's about yay tall, and he ate the most pancakes, I'm telling you. He was phenomenal. And then everybody gave it a good shot. They did awesome. And when we got here, we didn't even have a thing to cook it on. So we had Chris go in there and fix up the stove, and so finally we got some things running, and it's good to have it back to business. Okay, anyway, we had a great breakfast, and we had a four-wheel trail ride. And we went out to Deer Springs Point, and you'll see some of the pictures, and it was phenomenal. We had kids, and we had four-wheelers, and we had the rhino, and we had motorcycles, and it was really a great lot of fun. So we took the tour out there to see if there's any water that we could put out on that point, and we saw our section marker and a few great things. We took some great pictures out there. We came back a little bit later than we thought. We didn't know we were going on a walking tour at the same time. So we got back a little bit late for the shooting contest, and I'm sorry to say that those A's were here waiting, and they got tired and left. But anyway, sorry. Anyway, but we did have a shooting. Dave was the winner of the shooting contest, and it was really a great lot of fun. And so the winners of these contests, what I'm going to have you do is I'll give you your prizes over there. You're going to get to pick your prize. You have a choice. We did make some jalapeno jelly and some strawberry peach jam. There's some cornbread mix and some homemade grape juice. Anyway, I've been canning for a long time. So we also did bring your own lunch, and we had a great little gathering here for lunch, and then we had a watermelon seed spitting contest. Now that was great. And you kidding? Do you know who won?
Who's got
the same tall kid? 32 feet. He shot.
Oh my
God! I can't believe he shot that thing. Yeah, we had to get a tape measure. We really didn't. But I want to know how far it really was. That was pretty good. So if you can shoot one for 32 feet, it was pretty long. Thanks. We had a preparedness fair. Preparedness fair after that. So we had Lynette, what was the name? Where are you? We had a gentleman and his wife come out, and they gave us some examples on different types of cooking. Outdoors cooking that you could use just a few cinder blocks, and it's really phenomenal. You don't have to use a lot of wood, and you just feed it little limbs off of the tree. It's very economical, very wonderful. We did all kinds of things, like we had a demonstration on the food dehydrating, canning. We had Lynette did one on edible plants around the ranch, things that you could do if you were here stranded and you didn't have food. Okay, we did one on nuclear fallout and one on EMP. So, and there are a few handouts left that are over here on 72-hour kits, things like that that are over here on this table if you want to help yourselves to that. We had all kinds of really cool things. We had things about generators and things that you put in your vehicles, and the Nelsons were here. And anyway, it was fantastic. Lights and all kinds of exciting stuff. Anyway, then we had, for dinner, we had a chili cook-off. And Nelson.
You won that one.
Nelson. Well, I don't know who voted. Anyway, we had a great lot of fun. And then we had a talent show afterwards. And Dave's son it was just the cutest thing. And he played the guitar, and then he had your little grandson that was singing. It was absolutely cute. So anyway, we had a super day, and we do that every year at the end of August. And so watch the calendar, make your dates, get your reservations, come if you don't even, don't bring your tent and camp on your lot. I don't care. Bring your travel trailers, but it's really a lot of fun. So, what's our next event? Nothing. It's going to be winter time unless we get snow, and then we have a snow sled run. So watch.
Cattle drive.
Oh, we did have a cattle drive. We had the cattle drive, and we can do that every spring and every fall when Doug Hunt moves his cattle up from one end of the field. He'll bring them up here, and we'll take them over to the watering over there. Sometimes they bring them up the canyon. In the spring, we bring them up the canyon, and then we're taking them out onto the point. So anybody that has their own horse wants to come and enjoy that. We did have awesome music. We hired what's the guy's name? Eddie Arnold's. No. Yeah. Eddie Arnold's nephew. Gosh. It's in my truck. I bought his CDs. They're so awesome. excellent entertainment. So you guys missed out, sorry. But we're having a lot of fun.
Thank you for that report, Shauna. Dale's not here to report on water resource, so let's move right into Ben for the agriculture and wildlife report.
There's a Brent Palmer sighting. Bear. The main thing that we've been working on under our lease agreement on the cattle grazing, we had some fences that we had committed to this year. Taylor Button, we had one other contractor here for a short period of time. It caused us more trouble than it was worth, so that didn't continue. We're right now trying to work with Taylor in his main busy season to finish, and then this fall finish up a couple of those fencing projects. And come up with a better plan on the cattle rotation, and
you know, pasturing with the animals. We've put, you know, some money and gotten some good fencing done. The problem is almost every fence that we've done, now that I've gone around this year and been over that, we've done like 90%. And I've learned that if you fence 9/10 of a mile, the cows just know how to go a little bit further. And so that's been our priority, is to come back and finish several of these fences. We're working with the BLM, again, on the whole east side of the ranch in this area that's part of the National Monument, getting permission, you know, working through that. We're not going to change or relocate any of those fences, even though some of them we've almost got to tear down to start from scratch, where they really have not been maintained for, you know, 20, 30 years. There's a lot of the other, you know, original fences that go out through the middle of 20-acre lots and areas that's really not maintainable as individual lot owners begin to use their lot. So with that, you know, we've got to, you know, try to relocate and put fences on property lines and areas where they can, you know, be, you know, maintained properly, and try to train our cows to stay here. This year our problem's been much more our neighbors' cows of not staying here. And again, that's part our issue and problem. We've worked several times with the neighbors of the east. You know, Chris was on the phone yesterday because we've got the same herd that keeps coming back into the upper end of the, there by the fish ponds and stuff. And so, again, that's a continual process. We are under a long-term agreement that we entered with Doug Hunt and the Longhorns a year or so ago, and so our priority is to, you know, try to, you know, get our portion of that done. We continue to go back and forth between trying to contract out and get a professional come in and in a short amount of time do you know, do that work versus our on-site, on-staff ranch help. But as everybody knows, that's really been somewhere we haven't made a lot of progress the last year with the turnover. So that has set that back. As far as the wildlife, the biggest thing that we've done this year is continue to maintain a lot of the water resources that we've worked on here in the last year or two. You know, even as dry as it has been this year, I mean, we've got some nice rain, but this has been as bad or as dry of a winter as we've had in 10 years. And so through the month of August, to still have Half Moon Reservoir hold water through August is something that didn't have any water for 20 years. And the small pond there heading up Slide Canyon and stuff. So we are starting to see a nice improvement both for the wildlife and for the and for the livestock in being able to rotate and graze and use some of these areas because of having the, you know, water resources in that area. We still have several others that this year we have done improvement out in the Deer Springs Point Pond and some of those areas, but with these little isolated cloud storms that have come over and put rain down, still haven't rained right in the right location. You know, we're completely dependent on that. So we will continue to do that. We've made some improvement, you know, in the last year. Everybody knows the gravel pit as you enter the ranch where the windmill was that tipped over a year ago. You know, Brent and several that worked on putting a solar pump in there, that's, you know, up and running. And so that we're making that transition from stuff that we cannot maintain, the old windmills and stuff that don't have the parts, and as budgets allow, try to rotate that over to maintainable solar submersible pumps that will just continually, you know, pump a small amount of water and keep those sources, so we're not wasting time and expensive resources hauling water and stuff. So those are the things that we're working on now. Any members that are interested or still to, you know, work on some of that committee or being involved in that, would, you know, welcome your participation or interest in that. We will work a lot this next year in working with Vance Green on the mapping that he's done. Everybody's enjoyed on the website and stuff that can be printed to align that with our water resources and our fencing so that we can have
those areas GPS and documented, and it's easy then to refer to them other than talk about the old pond that's out there behind a big tree or something. So as we do that, we'll help it to be more maintainable and something that everybody can be more aware of.
Hey, Dan?
Yeah.
Can I make a comment on wildlife?
Yeah.
I still do some of the work for the ranch on the wildlife committee in regards to the hunting and that stuff with the Ponsagunt Landowners Association. Want to point out we brought in $6,500 or $6,700 into the budget this year from that, so that's a pretty good boost in the arm. This year hasn't been talked a lot about bears. You know, last year, the year before, it was kind of critical, and we had the BLM guys or the game warden come out and talk. I want to remind everybody, just because you haven't had an incident, don't go to sleep and think that we're still not in bear country. I have people come out all the time and say, oh, I didn't really notice or wasn't aware you had bears. Shauna and Jody are a perfect example right here. I want to point out the hair color. There's a blonde bear that lives mainly in Upper Slide Canyon and over in Mill Creek. I mean, the same color as Shauna, not just a patch of blonde, but entire, from head to toe, that color. There's a red bear that lives up in the top end of Meadow Canyon and over into where we call Bear Spring, that's Jody's color. So we have some beautiful animals around. not just board members.
Better shut up right now.
And there's some wildlife out there too. But black bears are awesome, but they can be problems. So remind each of you, take care of your garbage, your food scraps, dog food, cat food,
barbecue.
Clean up after yourselves. Don't give them any reason to be coming around, and if we take care of what we need to, they won't become a problem, which sadly enough ultimately ends up in their destruction. So, you know, let's be proactive in our stewardship. There's one other thing I was going to bring up. Anyway, it's awesome to see all the wildlife, and improving the grazing, improving the water has helped. We have an abundance of wild turkeys. I hope everybody gets to see some of these, take pictures and put them on the website. But wild turkeys, elk, I mean, some giant bull elk. The deer, obviously, bears, bobcats, coyotes.
The other thing I was going to mention that we're trying to monitor a little bit. You know, we've gotten reports, but we're trying to track down and pin down the government. But there have been reports of and several sightings of either a
wolf.
Ginormous coyote or a wolf. And so we have, really tried to press the government, because there's, the release of the wolf back in the Western United States, and people that are excited about that and concerned about that. That is something that, we put a lot of money and effort into eradicating that for the wildlife and for the livestock. But at least to be aware of that, and if you think that you do see one, to let us know, because we still had a couple of sightings this year of what we believe is a full blown wolf.
Big bad wolf.
Go ahead.
Hi, I got a question for you.
The $6,500 was generated. Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association participates as one of the members of the Ponsagunt Landowners Association. All of the private property that's owned within the Ponsagunt, which is the Utah-Arizona border, Highway 89, Highway 12 from 89 across to the Paria River, and then back down to the Arizona border. It's roughly a 50-mile square that is the Ponsagunt Limited Entry Hunting Unit. As one of the landowners, the state of Utah issued the ranch hunting tags for deer that we could sell to hunters or do whatever. About 10 years ago, this landowner's group started taking those tags, and instead of giving them to the individual property owners, they auction them off as a block in banquets and whatever, and then they take the money generated from those sales and divvy it up back to the members of the Landowners Association. So Deer Springs Ranch, because of our acreage, we get our portion, and that was $6,500. It varies every year depending on the dollars generated from the auction. I mean, and it's big money. These tags generate $200,000 to $250,000, $300,000.
and our portion is 6,500. Mainly because there's a different criteria for open range ground, which that's all we have. We do not have any farmable ground that qualifies. 640 acres of deer springs ground is the equivalent of somebody else's 20-acre alfalfa patch. And we really can't change that unless we get into irrigation sprinklers and to qualify, we have to mechanically harvest hay off of our ground, which, you know, just at this point isn't economical for us to pump water, but we could, you know, work toward that. Also, some of the things that can play into that to increase the income would be, we have worked to where this unit is a limited entry for turkeys, but there's also over-the-counter sales for turkey hunters. And so there have been people that have come here and hunted on the ranch, and we charge a trespass fee for them to come and hunt, and that goes back into the Deer Springs budget. Deer hunters that are not part of the landowner tags, the state of Utah requires us as Deer Springs Ranch, if we participate in that pool, we also have to allow access to our property to hunt. I'm able to control that a little bit just by logic. Obviously, we can't allow 1,000 hunters from the state of Utah to hunt Deer Springs Ranch. And they understand that to say, okay, if there's one Ponsonagunt landowner tag that's allowed hunting access, one general season or a general over-the-counter, that's really not over-the-counter, but a general permit, we have to give access. I'm able to control that a little bit legally by saying, look, you have access, but it's hiking only. You have to come in on foot. We're not going to allow you to drive the roads all over, and you have to, if you know, I can control who comes in so I know who's here or who's not supposed to be here. People sneak in all the time, and that's the problem, because they don't know, you know, is there a camper on Niall Willis's lot? Is there a new cabin on Bob Becker's lot? What's over that ridge? I mean, how many of you know one pine ridge over from your home, what's there or not there? And so a total stranger coming in, you know, if they're out hunting, they don't know. And that's the danger. And so we've basically restricted it to nobody can come in unless they're with me or one of the ranch personnel, so that we can keep them in safe areas and keep their activity safe for all of us as owners.
Well, just walk around thinking there's never any good success out here. I don't have to worry about that. I'm just probably born.
Okay, here's part of the problem. Most of that can be controlled because the hunting, the rifle hunt when they would be in here is, you know, it's a 10-day period of time during the year. We all should be kind of aware of when that takes place. And the other problem we have as a ranch, very few members, I'm not going to say no one because there's a lot of people that are smart like Vance and have looked at a map. Deer Springs Ranch is a huge, huge spread out area that is a lot of chopped up little blocks of private and public and private and public and private and public. So even if we were to say absolutely no hunting on Deer Springs ground, number one, that would take us out of any of the income stream. But maybe we want to say, okay, it's not worth $6,500 for us to allow somebody to come in here. That doesn't take away any of the liability or problem, because they still have every right to come and hunt all of the public ground that's in and around the heart of the ranch. And that takes away our ability to control it. See, if we can control and say, okay, we are going to allow public, the hunting, I can at least say, I need to know your name, when you're there, and I have to be with you to help.
He's been our guide for umpteen years now.
And if we aren't participating in that, then anybody and everybody that has a tag, and there's 150 archery tags, there's 175 muzzleloader tags, and 250 rifle tags, could be in and around. I mean, how many people, by show of hands, if you know, is your lot locked in Deer Springs Ranch, or are you bordering public ground? Okay, there's a lot of us who border public ground.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of the common ground of a Deer Springs Ranch Association that's checkerboarded interior or a border, one edge or the other, of BLM or forest, or vice versa. So, in my opinion, it's better to participate in a program so we have some control and we know what's going on rather than to say, well, to be safe, let's not allow it and not do anything, because then we have no control and they can basically, you know.
Yeah, they want. Mm-hmm.
Phil?
It could be, we've seen that three sites built by family and another worker, but there is something that exists as a black leopard.
I've seen, it's a panther.
Yeah.
I've seen two here at Deer Springs, and I have a picture of one on the Kaibab Mountain. They come out of Mexico, and they do come this far north, but what's been seen lately is definitely a dog wolf, not the cat panther. I mean, it's a miniature, it looks just like a mountain lion, a cougar, same body structure. They're just a little bit smaller.
And black.
And black.
Deer bears go by our place fairly often. We see those.
You had a comment? Yes, yeah, it does change, but it's typically, October 5th through the 15th, and that may change a day or two, and then depending on what the state does, sometimes they'll bump it, but generally it's something that is known ahead of time.
We
and it could be put on the website.
In the newsletter each year, if we know when it is, if we get a fall newsletter, and just as a reminder, a lot of years.
Many years,
archery hunt's been going on for about a month.
Because typically we would lock all the gates. We started having more vandalism and destruction than just leaving the gate unlocked and monitoring. And as we've got more and more people out here, years ago when nobody was here,
on the fence up there together.
Anything could go on and nobody knew it until after that you come and find the fence torn down or the gate torn down. Now that we've got multiple full-time residents that are either here year-round or here a substantial amount of the time. And with the radios, it's easy to sit, somebody down here to say, hey, somebody just busted through here, didn't stop and talk to me. They're all in camouflage or they're all in Hunter Orange and they're headed up through the middle. Then, Brent can intercept them or somebody else can at least keep an eye on what's going on, why are you here, who are you with, who told you to come in here. And if anybody ever stops somebody or questions them, they say, oh, yeah, I'm buddies with Larry. I have a lot of buddies, but I don't give out permission to hunt Deer Springs Ranch willy-nilly. It's either the guy with the draw tag that we have to allow. Basically, the way I run the operation is anybody that draws the draw tag, by rights, we have to allow them, and then one other hunter, and I usually do that on a kind of a first come, first serve. Once I've got a name filled in the slot, that allows me to tell anybody else that contacts me, we've already met our quota, or we've already got a person, next year or whatever, let me know. But that at least, I've got a name and a number to call. If somebody's up here that shouldn't be here, I can call and say, hey, that's not our arrangement. You're not supposed to be there. And they say, well, what do we need? Then we can start falling out.
Is it fair to say for the members that are here, that what do they do if they encounter somebody in a vehicle like that? Are they supposed to, and they say, well, I talked to Larry.
Well, Brent's probably a perfect example. He's seen several people out here, Fred Searles. I think it's smart for all of us to get to know each other and start putting this little Deer Springs Ranch decals in our window, so when you're driving by, I don't recognize all of you, and I'm sure all of you don't recognize me half the time, but when you're up through here and you see somebody coming through, it's nice to go, oh yeah, that's a Deer Springs owner, they're supposed to be here. Brent, what do you usually do when it's that time of year and
What I usually do, 70% of my income is derived when I take bribes during the hunting season. What I normally do is I normally send it over to the photo.
That's the easiest, that's the best place to go shoot. But what I usually do is this. I go in and I ask them who they are. Because I'm here all the time, I recognize 80% of anybody who's here in their cars. But then I'll ask them who they are. I'll ask them what they're doing here. I'll ask them if they
talk to you if they're a general tag owner or holder or a Fonscon tag holder. If they say no, 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 no to everything, what I do is I tell them, well, you're welcome to hunt all the public ground you want, but we don't allow you access, vehicular access over our roads. So you can, you know, find yourself, prepare, you know, go hike. If they're real belligerent, if they're real abusive, if they're, and we've had them, I've had a couple of guys pull guns on me, I just call the sheriff. I just back off, I go.
It's not worth getting into confrontation, but get their license plate number and call the sheriff, get on the radio and see if you can get a hold of somebody else in the group. But typically, I say two things about hunters, and it's not necessarily good, and I hate this because I'm a hunter. Most hunters don't want to walk. They won't hike. You know, if you say, hey, you're welcome to hunt, but you've got to walk in to this public ground, they won't do it. Most of them know where they are and always play dumb. Like, oh, I didn't know this wasn't public land. So when you stop them, just like, oh, who are you? What are you doing here? You do know this is all private property. Most of them, oh, I didn't know that. And you can say, yeah, down to, you know, the county road, you're welcome to go that way as far as you want. Or that way, about 7 miles, turn north. I think that's the whole one. But it's not worth getting into a big fight, and most of them aren't going to be belligerent. There are a few that, you know, no matter what you say, they're going to say, hey, I hunted out here when I was a kid, and I have the right to go anywhere and everywhere, and Larry told me I could. I've had two or three people come back to me and say, hey, did you send these guys? And I'm like, no, I don't. Get their name, number one, because then I can go back and say, hey, quit using me as your scapegoat.
You know, I don't think most of us had a clue how much time you put into this, so on behalf of all of us, thank you.
Okay. It's stuff I do all the time anyway. The biggest thing is I get with Linda. I have to submit a report every year on our acreage and a map. It's not a big deal because I've done it so many years. It takes me an hour or two to collect the information, stuff it in, and turn it in. The sad thing is they get it to me, and it always says, this must be turned in by August 1st, or you don't get to participate. Well, I usually get it on August 5th or 8th. And so it's a panic. Oh, I've got to go collect. You know, luckily I have an advanced green map that I pull up on my computer, print off, make a few marks, get all the tax. I have to turn in a tax assessment record of every parcel of Deer Springs Ranch, and there's about 15 or 18 pages. And go through and mark the tax status of our property, you know, so we can participate. It's not a big hassle, but $6,500 in our budget is a big deal. I mean, that pays for a lot of fencing, that pays for a lot of fuel, that pays for renovations on cabins or culverts. You know, that's a lot of money for what we really have to put out to provide for it. And so anyway, be careful with bears, watch for the wolf. We'll try to, with the board, post the hunting dates just so, you know, nobody has a problem. I'm more of an archery person myself, and so archery hunting and turkey hunting with shotguns, you know, if you were 100 yards away, you're not even going to really know they're there. But when you get high-powered rifles, you got to know where they're pointing and what they're pointing at and what's over the hill or behind the bush.
I just want to make two comments kind of regarding access and that we're going to come up. And a report so that membership knows if you have a concern or something, let us know so that the board is doing what you want. I think we're doing a good job of balancing the liability and the recreation, what some people value, and making it safe for everybody. But we have come to the point where with the 100 miles of private roads and, you know, blocks, you know, there are some people that show up and think they're in the middle of nowhere when there's cabins and stuff just over the hill. So monitoring it, having Larry or somebody attend them is the thing that, you know, brings most people to, you know, say most of those are responsible hunters. If we know their name, the big problem is when you're mixing high-powered rifles and alcohol in the typical hunting camp, drunken weekend. And so, you know, we haven't had problems with that up here at Deer Springs for years and years. And so, the other thing on, just a quick report as far as access. We did have an incident this year with the resident a troubled boy's Wingate program. There's a local company that takes troubled youth into the wilderness. They're permitted on the BLM. They spend quite a bit of time around Deer Springs. You'll see them more and more where you're down the middle of nowhere and you run onto five people backpacking in the middle of nowhere. I've met with the owner of that in the last few months to discuss a little bit more of where our private property is and where it isn't. Try to work with them that, look, when you've got new, you know, they bring in new people, and there is that first 72 hours where there's a little risk of them running, and if they're within, they see, you know, lights in the distance or whatever, and they know there's cabins or something where they could possibly break in or get keys to a vehicle or anything. You know, we did have one of those incidents this year where, you know, a kid ended up running and approaching a member's cabin and stuff. So just so that you know, we are working with them. They've been very cooperative. If there's any incidents or anything, they definitely don't want any problem. And so we've worked with them a little bit better as far as knowing where the private property is. Because, again, they're everywhere from, you know, Bull Valley Gorge. You know, sometimes you'll see out along the county road, you know, tubs set up side the road. First time I thought, oh, this fell out of the back of a truck. All those are food drops where they're coming out and dropping food and water for their particular. They've got 47 or 48, you know, youth out there, boys and girls, and with their staff, 24/7, you know, 365 days. I mean, they're out here through the entire winter in with nothing more than whatever they can carry on their back and a tarp. And so, you know, it's one of these.
So don't take their food.
But don't steal their food, and if it's a problem, let us know. They, like I said, we did meet with the owners of the program to make sure that we're good neighbors with them, but they know what we expect and that they're doing everything to avoid any issues or problems. The other issue that I was supposed to bring up, we'll go over with the board, but we have had still more requests. Well, not more requests, but those that do ask as far as access through the ground. You know, we as a board a couple years ago did sign an agreement with the ATV vendor that was permitted in the BLM and in the forest and stuff. And so they did pay us a fee to be able to go up through the ranch. But we're always concerned to make sure that you know, we're not having speed issues where they're racing up and down Meadow Canyon. You know, again, we have members that do that, but we just kick them in the butt. These guys are from out that aren't members, then we have to tell them, look, you know, it's the same thing. Our philosophy is it would be better for us to permit and know who it is so that we can terminate that than just say, we're not going to work with you. Then they just start fighting around it. And we're still fighting some of the political battles. You know, I went through the issue with, talked through with the Forest Service, you know, about a year, year and a half ago on the Deer Springs gate at the top end where we were locking that. It's still posted, you know, arguing through where we have it, where, you know, we can maintain that as a private road, even though we don't, you know, lock it. And we try to cooperate with people, but they have taken a pretty fierce stance that, you know, and notified us, if you lock it, we're just going to lock the gate at Crawford Pass up on top so that we can't get to the forest, which again is one of the valuable things. We would want to get up through there, but they are in protecting the public as a whole, saying, look, we're not going to allow this to be just a private access for Deer Springs Ranch only. If you're going to lock all the gates, then we're just going to lock you out of the forest. And so we kind of got into a gridlock in that where we're going through that. So that came up recently. I don't know any of those locally. They're doing this big grand-to-grand race here in 2 weeks in September.
Today it started today.
No, that's the local Kanab KTX. There's a 10K in Kanab. It was kind of a pre-runner. This was a worldwide race. It was $3,000 to enter it. It got 78 participants. I talked to, you know, Matt Brown was in Switzerland last week signing up people. It'll start at the Grand Canyon. It's 168 miles in 5 days. So they will race, camp race, and so with it, it will end. It was kind of Grand Canyon to Grand Staircase. It'll actually end on the Dixie National Forest just above Deer Springs, west of Bryce Canyon. And so right now, Kane County and stuff are gearing up. There's a TV crew coming from Japan that will be here for 3 weeks before and after filming. They're doing a 90-minute documentary that they're you know, pretty excited about. I mean, whether you get into that, they're bringing these three you know, film crew cameras that are in excess of $1 million that film in the tape that they're filming in is 16 times the definition of HD. And so they, you know, again, it's above anything that can broadcast. It's going to broadcast in Japan in November. And so we're trying to, you know, protect the privacy and the exclusiveness of Deer Springs. But events like that that will ask permission and stuff, they have asked, instead of traveling that week up around and into Bryce, up into, you know, near Tropic Reservoir, that some of them will be allowed to skate through here. You know, we had the discussion a year ago for those when we had the helicopters and stuff land here in the airstrip for the big marijuana bus, King County Sheriff. You know, they called me on a Sunday morning and they said, look, we've got to land three helicopters. We're bringing in 35 guys to you know, crash this marijuana growing plantation that was near Deer Springs. You know, in that case, you know, I found a few board members, but we're wanting to cooperate with those guys. These are the local sheriff's department, law enforcement, and as long as we try to, you know, cooperate with them, then, you know, and there's been times in the past where some members or even the board has said, no, we're going to shut you out. Well, we don't want to do that. Right now, the efforts that Brent Fulmer does on the fire and stuff, I know that he is very highly respected and regarded in King County as a whole as a major resource for this area, and something that they do a lot of you know, favors and cooperation with us along those lines. So anyway, that race will be going on, something that we were going to discuss. I was asked to, you know, get a formal, because again, they had run on to members when they came up through here a week ago, who ran them off and said, this is private ground, you can't get in here, I'm calling the sheriff, and evidently it got a little bit ugly. Again, our main thing is, if you know of or have guests that need that or whatever, the more that somebody knows about it so that it's not a problem, the better. But I think it's something we still need to keep in balance of, you know, knowing who is there. And then when there is issues, and I don't care if it's members, I don't care if it's contractors, or if it's, you know, tourists, if they're racing up down Metal Canyon Road at 50 miles an hour, that's a problem. We continually have the problem of, you know, the tourists coming across from, you know, Garfield County across the county road and getting stuck out here in Lake Wash or something and hiking to the ranch house. I mean, that still is something that takes a lot of time and resources, and something that when you say, hey, our rental car's stuck out there and we walked all through the night, you can't say, well, good luck with that, because that's 38 miles, you know. And so I think that's still part of just being good neighbors and stuff, but we'll continue to maintain that and keep it safe. And again, with these radios and communication, it is getting better that way. That's all, my.
Hey, Ben, just one thing. If people interested in the Wingate program, just Google it, like Wingate and Kanab. It's they've got a great website, very informative, very
educational. That's the thing is, it came a big issue this year. I had some people call, you know, very concerned, upset, and hey, what's this new program? They've been here for 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
No, most people have never known about it for 10 years. In the 10 years, they've had, you know, three incidences of runners, you know, or something. You know, once in a while they'll get somebody that, again, wander, and that's why they're 5 miles from anything, and they'll monitor somebody and have their staff follow them until they decide, okay, I'm going to kind of cooperate. Again, these are not convicted felons. They're not, most of them are inner city spoiled rotten brat rich kids. That's the best description.
Yeah.
But when they, you know, they do bring them in, you know, the other thing that people have said, hey, you know, I, you know, somebody was kind of going in and out, they will always bring them in under the cover of dark. They usually fly them into Vegas, they'll bring them in, and they won't even leave Vegas till after dark. They'll be hitting up into wherever, anywhere within 20, 30 miles of Deer Springs at midnight, and then you'll see them, you know, the truck's going back out at 4 o'clock in the morning or whatever. So they have no idea where they're at. But, like I said, there are some issues where I've talked to the owner and say, look, we can tell you where some of the full-time residents are. You can see the light for 5 miles out there. Let's just make sure that we're avoiding those areas, especially during, you know, the summer months when, you know, the cabins are full and there's more people up here or whatever. And so, again, they were the very first. I mean, they did come up back up after, meet with the members. You know, the sheriff, you know, this was one where they did call the sheriff's department to notify them and stuff. And so I think that they've done a good job at following up. You can't prevent everything, but for everything I know, they've been very responsible. And if there's something that comes up that we need to request, they've said, whatever we need to do to be good neighbors, we will comply with any requests that you have.
Hey, good job.
Thank you. All right, next item there is cabin maintenance facilities. David?
very quickly. We've concentrated mostly on the ranch house. Cabin 3 is going to get a new roof this year. It'll be metal like the other one. If some of you, and I'll be doing it, and if some of you think it's a conflict of interest, it probably is, but it's in favor of Deer Springs. It doesn't. I've done a lot of work here for nothing and started getting compensated for it, usually in an assessment credit, and then still do stuff for free. And when I charge the ranch, like for the barn roof, it ends up being at cost, which is 50% of what I would have charged anyway. So you're more than welcome to bid it out, have someone else do it. It ends up being, I come to the ranch to go to work instead of coming to play.
That's true. That's true. You always have to work.
So, the porch, if you've noticed, you probably haven't noticed, but the front porch doesn't have trim around it because it wasn't here. I didn't have enough when I did that, so that's a little bit that needs to be finished. But the ranch pays for the metal and then basically pays the cost. I brought employees to do the barn roof. And again, if you think this is a conflict of interest, I'm more than happy to not do it and just come to play. The pavilion, if you've seen the framework up, I don't know if the flat thing get put up, not put up yet.
There's a picture of it.
Okay, there's
right here.
A picture.
Take
of it
a look.
Here. Anyway, yeah. I just did it because I wanted to be able to use it. So, sorry, I do this for purely selfish reasons. So there's something that we can enjoy that's shady. Anyway, I think that's probably all I have.
On that same interest line there, too, we know his numbers, and he does treat us really, really fair. As Linda did mention earlier, I've been taking care of a lot of the maintenance and a lot of the equipment. I've been hauling the equipment to Vegas to my shop for repairs. That's a lot of expense to haul the stuff back and forth because there's so much that needs to be done there. I've done that all at free expense of me and my vehicles and equipment to haul it in. And just like Davey said, there's no way I even could bill what I really put into that equipment because I just take pride and care in the fact that I'm an owner out here as well. And like I said, if anybody also thinks there's a conflict there, they can for sure
come do it.
I just wanted to make sure that's known too. Just because I'm on the board and I fixed it doesn't mean that I had any insight on that. You know, I knew where our budget was, and I went thousands of my own personal dollars over. So, all right. Then next.
This is the
Jody.
Application. It's in these 1 minute. I'm sorry.
She's talking to Linda.
From the board meeting, for the next board meeting. Ryan. Let's just so you have
it. Ryan, we'll step right into you.
Mine's on the radio. I'm the primary. Everyone should get the radio. I encourage it. I think you've seen everyone's talking about how they could help the ranch. I think it's going to make the ranch a little bit smaller. You're going to get to know your neighbor a little bit more. And who knows, maybe you'll make some new friends. So I just encourage everyone to get them, work with them. If you have questions, I'm able to help. Bob Becker, he's a great help in the radios. He donates a lot of the hardware and stuff like that makes it happen. So the coverage from the whole ranch is really good. And then Vance with his internet skills too, making the communications a lot better out here too. So.
Can I come in on that for one second?
You can jump right on that.
Thank you. Hey, we're trying to get neighborhood communities worked out. And so we're dividing up the ranch in almost 7 sections. And the board members that we have on here is interesting because we're all in each one of those different neighborhoods. So what we want to do is get those people that are in, we'll do show you on the map, but like Slide Canyon, which would be me, okay, Jody, you're in Meadow,
right,
Butthole, sorry. Anyway, and Dave, are you Meadow Canyon?
Crawford.
You're Crawford Canyon, see what I mean? We're all in different, anyway, wherever we're at. That's the kind of people that you need to get with. And so if you're in Slide Canyon, come talk to me. We need to do a community get-together so we know who's in our area, what resources we have together so that we can help one another in our own areas so we can have, watch the roads or whatever, the fires, whatever, so that we have those kind of friendships, neighborhood, community. That's what we want to do. Relationships. Good job. Okay, anyway, so that's a goal we're working on.
Thank you.
Jody?
Yeah. Okay, I already did my treasury report and the finances, and the only thing else I have to add now is with the ballot that came out this year, there's been talk in the, during the last year about the board members wanting access to the reservation system online to tell who's in what cabin, when they're in what cabin. Some of us feel there's a privacy issue involved, but it doesn't matter. It's up to you guys to decide that. So we didn't get to have that on the ballot, but I do have extra opinion surveys up here for you to fill out if you want to opt out or if you want to opt in for the board to be able to review that reservation system. So if you didn't fill one out, turn it in already, here's extra copies after the meeting. If you have any questions about that, come talk.
Let me ask.
Explain that a little.
Now that we're bringing it up, this is where one thing that, as a board member, I get frustrated. Sometimes we talk about the stupidest stuff on earth and make a big deal about nothing. And I don't know. So I'm happy to open it up. Did everybody here get this
survey
that was sent out? Most people, okay. So that's where I don't, you know, it's something that was not sent out by the board. You know, this is something that you know, Jody has had quite a bit of input on. The issue is right now in the reservation system. You go on the website and reserve a cabin, put your name in. That's monitored, and it's been monitored by Linda as the office manager to know that you're current on your points or on your assessments, that you have the right to the cabin and stuff. And that's really been something that's password protected against, just so any member, even the board, we can't get in the website. Vance has built that and put a lot of work into it, you know, really ran it the last couple of years. But there's two sides of it. One, to know how much are the cabins being used so that we can say, are they used enough or too much? Are they abused? If they're not used, why? And so we've talked about this for years. Part of it is because the quality of them, the cleanliness or whatever, and so that's where, again, it's not that big of an issue. I can't walk into any hotel in Salt Lake City and say, hey, I know that Mike Duvall's here. What room is it? They would never give me his room number in a hotel. You know, they may ring him or whatever. I mean, there's a different problem. But if there's a fire up here, an emergency situation, we're trying to, you know, people can sometimes have called my office over the year and said, hey, I've got something at Deer Springs. We've got a family emergency. Somehow we've got to notify them. And I'm like, I don't know where they're at up there, and I'm calling around trying to find out. And so that's the question is, do people, when you come up here, is it a privacy issue or not?
I don't think it is, and I think from a safety perspective, the board at the very least
should know.
Yes.
Well, that's what we believe.
Have contact information for all those people because we're in fire country. If there is a fire, not only do we have to be able to contact those people, but possibly all their families, because know who the survivors are if
they're not. Yeah, I appreciate any comments either way or if this is the annual meeting. I don't want to spend another 20 hours the next year of board meeting arguing how we're representing the board, because there's a few that say, hey, I don't want anybody to know whether I'm in the cabin or not. I'm hiding. I don't know that it's been an issue, but that's where it is not anything that's going to be published openly. We already talk about financial, contractual, sensitive topic, personnel in executive session in board meetings. That, you know, those are things that, just like today, we told you how many accounts you're delinquent. We're not reading off names and telling you who the dirtbags are that didn't pay their assessment. Half the time it was my name, maybe, you know. But the same thing, we're not publishing it for everybody as far as members. Right now, Linda is really the only one that has access and gets that. And there is times where she's not at a computer or something, and whether it's the on-site caretakers here or some of the board members that may want to get in there. And so I don't know really what some of the alternative motives are or the fears or anything, but that's what this is revolved around, and it's, you know, been discussed at, you know, recent board meetings. And Jody, you may
say what
yeah.
some of your concerns are, those that have expressed concerns to
right.
you, what
and
you're trying to represent.
We're not, you know, once you make a reservation and you've used your credit card, that stuff's purged off the system, supposedly. We're not after credit card numbers. We're not looking for anything. We're not selling any information to Joe Blow Insurance Company. We just want to know. You know, are we using the best resources? If cabin four is never used, but only by two family members, but so we don't know that, and we don't know who those two family members are. Why do we need to? If we got higher usage of number two or three, do we need to put a lot of your money in that cabin now, or should we focus other areas? Like I said, we really can't monitor anything as a board. I, as a board member, just want to be able to know who and how they use the cabin, how many people they use it at.
It sounds to me like we have two different issues. One's doing analytical work for the reservations and what's actually being used. You don't need access to who's doing what to get that kind of analysis.
Correct.
But from the safety perspective, knowing who's in there now, that's very important for you to do. Can you write this up for us to approve? And those two, if there's a safety issue, give you access to it. There's just to do analytical work. Get all the information out of the database.
Well, all you need is contact information, and I don't see that it requires a vote of the membership.
Yeah.
A majority vote of the board is all that's really necessary.
Right, that's why I think we're looking for members' input. The board legally has the right, and they created they already, by virtue of the bylaws, have the authority to do that. But at the same time, we are sensitive to if there's a big majority of the membership that see a big issue with that, we want to be sensitive.
We want to know. Yeah. Right.
I would basically say what you said, other than you need to have one person that is always available to access that information and designated that to do that. It doesn't have to be the same person 24 hours a day, 365
right.
days a year.
So, and it's you.
I don't think the board specifically needs to all have access. But there has to be someone, if Linda is going out of town, she has to be able to pass that torch on to somebody else. If she's not available for an evening, there has to be somebody who has the authority, but not have the board willy-nilly have that availability to abuse,
right.
and to be accused of abuse. Because if you have that ability, you're going to be accused of abusing, regardless of whether you are or not. But if you have someone who is absolutely designated, you know, a procedure that says, you know, if Linda's going to be unavailable or if she's not specifically on duty, this is the next person who has access and has the ability to get in. Even if you use temporary passwords, it's very easy to set up. And pass it on down the you're wanting in here, and you're getting in here to get our names and addresses, to give it to somebody who else, or to mail us flyers about what a great thing it'd be if you donated because you were in this cabin.
We already have all that information have everybody's information because you guys send out mailers.
Right. That's
want to know who's in the cabin.
Issues. I mean, there's been actually, you know, every member's mailing address is public record as a real estate broker, and I can go to the county record and I can pull up on my iPad and have everybody's mailing address here. So none of that is issues. You know, like I said, Vance, have you been involved in this much as far as the website? Could we do a temporary password situation or?
Well, if you guys will commit to emergency use only, that changes the game completely. The problem is you never committed to it.
Well, I missed the last board meeting.
Right. No, I mean not
so
your first.
Right. Okay. So I'm still trying to find out what the issue is.
It's way open-ended. If the intent is for emergency contact only, that's a total game changer.
Right.
I think
gotta go.
What would be valuable is to know what the results of the poll.
I need to recount on this.
You know, and if somebody still wants to be opted out, are we going to honor that?
I don't think. I'll just speak for me and vote me out off the board. I think it's stupid. One. I know a lot of people are complaining and people are standing here that never even got to the vote. So if the board of directors don't as official thing mail out a opt-in or opt ballot to every member, it's not valid to send it to, you know, my 20 buddy.
Well, let me ask you this. If you went ahead and did something and say, I wrote in and say, take me off the list, would you do it?
No. I don't think. That's my position. I already know whether you're current on your assessments or not. As a board member, I've got to know that. So whether I'm
in, so it's all or nothing kind of thing.
I mean, I just can't do it. Now, my concern is always, and that's why I'm asking you, I don't want, I'm not web savvy enough, I don't want to get in the backside of the web system, and that's why I've been worried about anybody getting in there fouling up the programming. And so I don't want anybody getting in there that you are not aware of, so that we make sure that, hey, somebody got in there and now half the pictures got deleted.
The handoff temporary web or temporary passwords.
Can you just recount it now?
I need to talk to Ben about this too.
You can get a snapshot of who's what where and have that as a static document that's successful. Then they don't have to get into the system. They don't have to have that.
Right in.
All they have is a snapshot of who's where. And what names are on there?
Yeah.
That's all.
And I still don't understand why it's about, you know. We've discussed as a board, a year ago when Dirk was the president, different time where we said, hey, who was it? For example, I'll tell you, here's a scenario that was questioned, and I want Linda to, because she's the one that, has been involved in. I came up second week of August for our family reunion. First time that I have slept in a Deer Springs cabin in a couple of years. I and my four children, my wife, sat there and stared at each other till 4 o'clock in the morning, could not sleep, for listening for the rats running through the walls. None of them getting inside. We don't have a mouse problem inside, but they get in the walls and just running and running back and forth, in that paneling. It was a nightmare. I mean, literally, my family left the ranch. They would not stay a second night at the ranch. And then I start finding out. Now, hey, I've been on the board. I feel like a total idiot that we've got that big of a problem. I start asking around, and people are like, oh, yeah, it's been that way for a couple years. I feel totally derelict in my response. I would like to know who has stayed in them now. If they were guests of members and they came one time, I feel they deserve an apology. If they were members, I want to say if there was a Mike DeVault, then I'd be saying, Mike, why didn't you tell me that it was that bad? And now I know it wasn't Mike, but I'm just saying. There's instances like that to where I wonder, well, who really has stayed in cabin number 4 this last year? How long has this been going, And has this been an ongoing problem or not? But if I don't have that information, I mean, it's just ridiculous to say, well, we can't tell you who was in there. Like I said, we're protecting. Well, we know. Hold on, let's, Linda.
Well, the website has all of your personal information and comes to me. I've looked through privacy policies for hotels and other businesses where this type of information comes in. I feel like at the least we can give the calendar that has the name on it. That's what we can do.
That's a good one.
We've done that.
or just the lot number, so we know. Well,
the lot number, that doesn't matter. But I can do that and give that to the board with just the name on it. The opt-in, opt-out, if you don't want your name on it, you can tell me. I can put in a code rather than the name. And then I still have all the information that I need. I can give him the information if it's needed for mice. By the way, we demoused that. It was good for 2 years, but now it's come back again. We need to go just stay up there and take care of it. So give me a night or two in that cabin, and I'll take care of those mice. Anyway. Seriously, we've done that before. And, yes, they were running through everything. It was crazy. But as far as this opt-in, opt-out, it's mostly just now. It's gotten down to where if you want your name on the calendar for the entire board, you can opt in and leave it that way, or opt out if you don't want anybody to know you're up here. That's what that's about. Vance has fixed it so that we can leave all that other information on the website, and I have that information if we need it, but the names go on the calendar, and that's what's there. Yes, sir?
But actually, the only information is who's reserved the cabin,
right?
Not who's staying it. So,
well, yeah, if you
understand, you don't know how many people are in there.
No. But maybe not you guys, but most of you don't put the right numbers anyway of how many are going to be there. So we just set up the cabins for every bed,
And that usually takes care of it. And if you all keep from sending back the blankets and things that aren't being used, then we're good. And that saves a lot on laundry, yes.
I may be taking an oversimplistic attitude. I don't understand 80% of the conversation why it's even happening.
Me either.
To me, from a security and a safety standpoint, you folks, all of you folks, need to have access to who's in the cabins. On behalf of those that are not here, who knows their family or friends are here, and on behalf of those who are here.
And that's why I would rather spend 20 minutes waiting now than another 20 hours in board meetings.
Thank you, we're done.
And identity theft for years. Those are not issues of what we're talking about.
We're not here.
Yeah.
When you go to a hotel.
Elected, whoever's on the board is elected and trusted by the membership. So
this is a membership in the association. Not a hotel.
Well, and so,
I'm not concerned about who am I taking my mistress for a night in a hotel. This is
a family ranch.
So hey,
it's not that situation. We are using our resources. Now, if you're really concerned, I would say at the very least, you put in your lot number.
Okay, to summary, I mean, just for the record, and you're taking minutes, I just want, in summary, what I'm hearing is it's not a big of an issue. I think that they need to, I would still, in some areas, we need to know, you know, what members in cabins, or if it wasn't, if you send a guest, it is important sometimes to know it wasn't the lot owner, it was a guest to theirs. Again, because by the virtue of bylaws, you're responsible for any damage that your guest may do.
And I put
or
names on the cabin.
Forest and Binder is 60% of our use, member use, or is 60% of their guests and family and friends, and they're saying they're, that's evolved over the last 30 years, and to track that. But I don't know, and that's where I would have thought more to prevent it. I don't like some, you know, the opt-out or opt-in, you know, newsletter that goes out to part of the members, because now puts me in as a board member position. Do I honor that or not? I don't want to violate anybody's thing, but it wasn't ever a board action to begin with, so that's where it's a struggle.
Personally, when I'm out here at the ranch, I'd like to have a calendar that's out here that says, well, who's out there, so I can.
Well, that's right.
They used to have that back in the day. Right. I don't know. Some of you guys might remember that.
And I've got friends that are out here, I can go say hi.
Right.
And I have an issue because when I have activities or something goes on, let's say there's a fire and we need to get hold of somebody in the cabin, we're saying, okay, can you see the fire from your lot, or how close are you, or whatever. Or if I'm saying, okay, we're doing a cabin drive, we're starting at 7 o'clock, oh, we had to change it to 8, or whatever, then I can get a hold of you. I don't even know if you're there.
I think you should be publicly posted on the thing of who's staying where, because everybody, you know, if I can be in
the
position,
names,
can
the names is what we want. We want to have contact.
I think it's been voiced. I feel that the membership is voiced pretty strong on that. And I think we're fine. I don't want to beat this horse all day long.
I got one thing to say. I'm talking about government here. It freaks me out that people can look at my property using Google Earth. Freaks me out. I don't do anything illegal. I don't do anything immoral. I just live my life. But I don't like knowing that you or you or you or you or anyone can look on Google Earth and tell what I've done on my property. You know, I've had people email me. Gee, I noticed you moved that container. You know? And it freaks me out.
Me too.
My point on
the tutu.
My point on all of this is simple.
I
have enough government intrusion as it is. All I want, and this board is nothing more than a government. And we elect this government to safeguard my privacy. So all I want from you guys is, if I choose to, yes, you can use that information, or no, you can't. All I want is a choice. That's all I want. There's so many things in my life I have no choice over. Google Earth. Think about that. I mean, I walk outside with different hats on. Just in, you know, so they won't really know if it's me. You know? But it freaks me out. And so all I want is the opportunity to say no. That's it.
All right.
You know?
So, and that's just basically what the survey is about. If you want to in or out, it's up to you guys. It should be up to you guys. And as far as the emergency thing goes, we always have Linda, we always have Vance. And that's why it was sent out. And if I did mail this out to everybody or emailed it out, if you didn't get it, court records has, I just want you to check up with you. You can check with me.
All right.
But Justin has something to say.
During the legal obligation report session,
I've noticed over the past year the minutes have been very sporadic and not posted. And
now, listen. I apologize.
Let me have a piece of paper on. There is a specific legal obligation, and I can pass that out as a printout. All meetings, all votes, all records have to be made public. We've got missing minutes for most of the year. That needs to be made available, at the very least, by the next meeting, when you guys vote on it. At the very minimum. And I would prefer if we have our minutes within 2 weeks of the previous meeting and then voted on and approved as official and updated then. Because if we don't have minutes, we don't know who voted where, we don't know what expenditures are being made, and we don't know where things are going. They have to be put in writing, and they have to be made available. And it's the legal obligation of the board to do this. And if the board cannot do it, then the members of the board that can't do it need to be removed and replaced. And this is just kind of a reminder of this for the upcoming board and the current board. That is your absolute legal obligation. We have to have minutes posted, and they have to be up there for everybody to do it. And if anybody's got any questions like that, I've got a printout of the legal statutes on that, and I can read those off.
Hey, you don't have to go through it, Dustin. It's crazy. Okay, now let me explain this. I was pushed into being this job, and I said, I'm not going to do it. I'll take the minutes, and somebody else can type them up. That didn't exactly how it worked. So things kind of went out of control, but we do have recordings of all of our meetings.
But they have to be made written.
They are written if you want to read my writing. But they had not been printed up. In the last 5 months, I have been typing them up myself because it didn't come out the way it should have.
I think you're missing two meetings, period, too.
So,
everybody has personal issues and everything else, but if people cannot fulfill those requirements, then pass it on to somebody else. I mean, that's
agreed.
What it is.
Agreed.
Legally,
she's working
you have
out.
To have those in there, and you know, work. You guys are at risk.
I don't disagree with what you're saying, but what you're citing, this is a private entity. This is not a public entity.
It isn't. is a non-profit corporation. A non-profit corporation shall keep permanent records of all minutes, all meetings of its boards and board of directors, a record of all actions taken by the board or board of directors without a meeting, a record of all actions taken by committees of a board of directors in place of the board of directors on behalf of the non-profit corporation, a record of all waivers of notices of members and on the board of directors of any committee or board of directors. A non-profit corporation shall maintain all appropriate accounting records. A non-profit corporation or its agent shall maintain a record of its members in a form that permits preparation of a list of name and address and numbers. A non-profit corporation shall keep a copy of the following records at its principal office: articles of incorporation, bylaws, resolutions, qualifications, rights, limitations, and obligations of members, minutes of all members' meetings for a period of 3 years, a record of all actions taken by members without a meeting for a period of 3 years, all written communications to members, generally as members, for a period of 3 years, a list of names and addresses or businesses of its current directors and officers, and a copy of the recent annual report delivered to its division under Section F, and all financial statements prepared for periods ending in the last 3 years that a member could have requested.
Okay, that did state a written communication amongst the members or whatever, but as Niall said, they are kept. there is recordings, and it is published on the...
But it has to be written.
It doesn't have to be written.
It didn't say that. It didn't.
It actually says...
Because the records have to be kept.
Yeah.
There's a record, a recording record on file.
No, it actually says it has to be written.
The shorter version of what Dustin's trying to say here is, you guys have four-hour meetings.
No kidding, or six
okay,
hours, and you only do a six-hour
page. That's got nothing to do with it. The fact is that most people don't have time to listen to a four- or six-hour meeting to try to pick out the votes, which is really what matters, and things that like that.
And that's the most important part.
And you all know, because I nag you about missing minutes and stuff, that it's a problem. And we just need to follow. It used to be not a problem. And it hasn't been not a problem. It can become not a problem again. We just need to be more diligent. You know, I know. Yeah, there's a lot.
I think we're still in the
statute.
She's working on
that. That we can
she's working on that. She's going to make better effort on that right now. I think she just said that.
Basic going here again.
Do you still do the recording back and forth to that?
The recordings go up there.
You used to have the tapes that they'd send back and forth to you, and you'd put them in.
No, we're able to upload them directly now.
Okay.
Yeah. They now go up there, but as Dustin noticed, they can be painful to listen to. Okay.
Yeah.
If we hold meetings outside and without a boom mic in every tree, we're not going to get everybody's voice.
And really, what's important is the board can discuss a lot of things, but what's important is what actions were taken by the board. What expenditures are taken by the board, what votes are taken by the board. Ultimately, at the end of the day, those things have to be recorded and have to be written down, and everybody needs to know about it.
Right.
We don't want to have an appearance of a problem. We'd rather just have it open and easy. And it doesn't have to be that difficult. And you know, we understand the board makes sacrifices. I've been on the board. I know how the board operates.
Have you been the secretary?
So, you know.
Nobody wants to be it.
So, I understand it's a sacrifice.
Everybody bumps out and you get pushed in.
Absolutely.
That's the way it works.
I've been in that same exact situation. But if secretary is not available or somebody else, secretary's delegate is not available, then it falls upon the president to do it. Somebody has to be responsible. Otherwise, why do it? You know, I mean, it has to be done. We have to know what actions were taken by the board.
Yep. Yes, I want to move on to. All right.
Linda needs to go.
Yes, Linda needs to leave. Our next item here actually is the tallying of the votes. Linda, that are announcing for us here.
We have Lynette Foster, Arlene. There we go. Kelly Lanter, Lynette Foster, and Arlene. Sorry.
Can't hear you.
Arlene McElroy!
Your head's blocking you.
Kelly Lanter and Lynette Foster did our tallying for us. And we've come up with this vote. In order of Dave Turley received 108 votes. He is back on the board. Shauna Cox received 90 votes. She is back on the board. And Dale Clarkson received 87 votes. He is back on the board. We had some discrepancies with numbers, but two agreed and one was off by one, so that's how that worked. The numbers that are totals, Dave Turley 108, Shauna Cox 90, Dale Clarkson 87, Robert Musco 86, and Ken Lent 84. And Robert Allen, 83. It was very, very, very close.
Very. That's probably the closest election, right?
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Don't ever say your vote doesn't count.
All right. Thank you, Linda. And we're going to go ahead and excuse Linda because she has a family situation to go through.
Thank you
for your help.
No, Terry's here.
Okay. Thank you for your help.
All right.
Is there any other unfinished business that needs to come before the board at this time? Any other new business? We want to discuss at this time?
Mike.
Yeah, there was a couple things, and I don't know. One item of new business that let's try to be brief on, but I wanted to bring back up. We mentioned the Wingate program as a neighbor. We discussed it a little bit in board meeting. I'd like to know if general members have a strong feeling one way or another. But when I met with them, they did have some discussion
in their program, obviously, they pay a fee to the government for, you know, using their ground. It actually is quite a significant. This last year was like $60,000. Their problem, and they are using one other ranch, private property, they're very restricted on anything that they do. If they camp in an area for a few days, if they build any lean-to structure, they've got to disassemble it and stuff. And the main thing is in the winter, they would like to have a place where they build a little bit more of a permanent thing. And they have asked, they are searching, whether it's us or not, if there was a place where you know, they would be able to, on private ground, you know, build more of a structure. And so I don't know, you know, that was an idea of, is that something that would raise money for the DSROA budget if they were to camp in a designated area that they would frequent throughout the year on association ground? Or is that something we say, look, we want, you know, again, we can't control it. If we say no, we don't want them anywhere around Deer Springs, then, you know, they may go buy or lease the neighboring property. Does anybody have a feel on that as to whether they see that as a positive or negative? I was just surprised at how much money.
The whole discussion is, would by a vote of hands, do we see how many members would be interested in having the board pursue a little bit more to find out what we could actually generate for income? And then could we also have a vote of hands by how many people are totally against it?
Can we get a few questions answered before we do that?
Not enough details here.
Yeah. Does that mean, just as a question, does that mean if they had a location wherever that they would then have access to run their program on other parts of the ranch, or would they be in and out to their structure?
We would try to find an isolated corner that would be in and out of that. They would still spend their time. I mean, they are moving constantly. They don't camp. That's part of their program. They don't camp in the same space. But there is times when, like I said, I was involved with Kane County Search and Rescue the winter before last, where they were snowed in and we, you know, snowmobiled in to even check on them. That's when, if they know that it's the winter and there's a heavy storm coming, they're going to be holed up for a week. They would go to a location that's outside the monument, because the monument will, you know, won't allow them to stay in one place. But it would not be building any permanent structures, but it may be an area where they may collect, you know, cut some cedar posts and stuff, and of native, you know, material in that area, build kind of some lean-tos that when they leave, they would, you know, be able to come back and reuse a primitive camp type of a area. But again, it would have to be something on a periphery corner or something that is, you know, of the 2,000 common acres, there's a lot of areas that, you know, that we could carve out and say, hey, in this 10 acres, you could come and go in that. And again, it would be kind of like, you know, on a lease basis that, hey, if it's not working, we're going to have to discontinue it or something, but there would be no permanent structure or anything there. Yeah, I think it'd have to be a trial basis. Just say, hey, yeah, we'll try it for a year based on, they do have a formula of, they have a set fee of per participant per day fee, and that's what they're calculating. So on those days that they were on our ground, they would pay us versus the federal government. Like I said, I know one other private ranch that they've used, and he says every year I've paid them several thousand dollars. Well, even $5,000 makes a big dent in our budget, and if $5,000 went to us out of the $60,000 that they paid the federal government last year, I guarantee we would use it better than Barack Obama did.
Wait a minute. I need names of people who came in who did not get signed in. We still got that list, right? If you did not get signed in, please put your name in here, because I didn't make you fast enough.
It's a lot, give or take a little bit, for $5,000. And for $15 a lot, I'd rather have those people as far away from us as possible. I have problems with the whole way that those operations are run. I've been teaching for years. I've seen people come out of those programs, and if they show up on my property, the sheriff is going to have to turn them back over to those people, because my feelings $15 or $20
a lot, hey, get them the hell
off our property.
Okay, any other comments?
I'll pay you.
where are you talking about putting all that?
We haven't talked about it.
This is an idea.
This is strictly an idea at this point. We don't have an affirmative. And if so, if we did find a place, we would want it on as far as way as possible from everybody in the corner. We have a vast area. What is the best thing? We'd have to look at that. I mean, but they actually are over there quite often.
Well, but and see, and that's on BLM
that's
ground.
BLM. We don't have any.
It would have to be a corner of our private ground. So yeah, I think it would have to be something where they're at least, a half mile or mile from any of the ranch structures or cabins or any of the individual private lots or something. But I just threw that out. You know, this just came up in the last month where we discussed it. It would be something that, they asked and that's something that, as under new business to at least throw out there. And if there's an overwhelming feeling one way or another, then it's something that at least the board would have some direction in whether to even explore it or not.
So, just kind of vote of hands, how many people here are against it?
Are you counting?
Okay, how many here are for it? Nine. All right. We'll let it out later. All right.
I mean, if I voted no, we just don't know enough.
I think so. If you got more information, maybe it changed.
You guys are not particularly good at executing things. Okay?
Well, it's just an idea.
Just a second here, because you don't ask us. Okay? We voted you to represent us. Doesn't mean you can just kiss us a goodbye for the rest of the year or not talk to us.
We're not. We want your input.
Some things you do. Okay? The track record of that is not good.
We want your input. That's why we're just asking.
So give us some information. Pick a specific site. In particular, because I have to put up with the motorcycle race on my property lot, ask the people who have joined the site. Find them personally. Seek them out. I don't care how much trouble it is. They are going to be right next to it. Whatever it winds up being. There's no place you can pick where there's not going to be an adjacent lot line. That's the way this place is laid out. You can pick the biggest piece of association ground and put them right in the middle of it. That'll just make it worse because then you have more people to notify.
Yeah.
You got to involve the people. They're going to be right there, especially if they've got a cabin.
But man, didn't they just do that? I mean, that's what he said. I haven't talked to any board member. This is a thought that hit me.
Well, no, but you called for a vote that we couldn't really make.
Well, the vote was, should we look into it or not? If you're saying, no, we don't have enough, then I'm not going to waste my time to look at maps to spend
five more hours. Wingate people obviously have
I'm not even going to call him and invite him. If everybody's against it, I don't want to get his hopes up to say, hey, why don't you search out maps and maybe it's a possibility. If it's we had somebody that said not only no, but hell no, it's a waste of time. I mean, we're a crunch of precious resource that I'm not going to spend four more of my Saturdays the next year looking into it, only to waste time. Yeah. So that's what I said. I agree. If it's something that I felt strongly we should do, I'll push that and try to cover. I mean, it's something we couldn't approve without a lot more research. I mean, obviously, we got to have a lot. But I just threw out a thought.
Yeah.
It was probably too early to get the feedback.
Yeah.
Well, but we only have one annual meeting a year. So that, where would we get it?
Well, yeah.
This is where you throw out new business.
I voted no, but I could flip if I had more information. And there's probably others who would feel the same way.
So what we're asking is, do you want us to pursue it and see what we could do? Not that we're doing it, that we could pursue Do we start searching that out, or do we not? That was really the vote.
I'd make a motion that we take another vote.
Okay.
You know what?
Yeah. Revote.
Before
we
make a comment, I know a lot of these counselors that work for these guys. It's highly professional. All of them are very well trained. I mean, most of them have master's degrees in youth counseling. This is the organization that the people come to when the other organizations fail.
True.
There's been a lot of these type of organizations where kids have gone out in these wilderness areas and they've died because they didn't know what they were doing. Some of these people that started these organizations are now in prison because of that very thing. These people have a process that they go through that's incredible. The training of the staff, like I said. But the kids that they allow in have to be helped. Now, they make a lot of money off this. They have a lot of money. This is a big-time, high-end organization. This is not just a bunch of people that got together for a weekend and we're going to do this. This is a big-time organization. If you go and look at their background, if you look at their website, if you talk to some people that know them, You'll see that. This is not a
5-9 at all. They have a total liability policy insurance. You know, they're all insured. It's, you know.
If you know what it's like to get on the Grand Staircase Escaline, the National Line, you wouldn't believe what they have to go through.
It's a miracle.
That's not the point. It's about property ownership and the rights that we have as
right.
property owners. And that's what the big division is. Is this an entertainment venue, or is this people who are buying private property in the effort to be as far away from, you know, all of that stuff as possible? And that's what the two halves are about in this situation.
Well, didn't you say that they are going to be around here anyway?
Yeah, like I said, they are here. They've been here for 10 years. Have you this is where... Whether it's road access or the hunting issue, like Larry talked about, I mean, here's where I come down, and I don't care to debate it. I know what'll happen. I mean, I know that's my background is in real estate. If we say no, that's fine. What they're going to do is, right next to you, within your neighboring lot is 160 acres over here in Dunham Wash. They're going to go buy that property, and we have no control. Or they're going to buy, when they buy a 20-acre Deer Springs unit, and say, hey, there's nothing in the bylaw that says I can't camp on it. That's all we're doing. We just bought.
Actually, that would qualify as commercial, and there is. But,
they can't do that.
You don't even know. You just threw a 6,000 out. You have no idea, really.
Right.
So I think it's worth
investigate. That's all we need to do. Get more information, investigate.
Or we could even send a special ballot out to all the members.
Okay, so let's reword the question and we're re-voting. We're rewording the question to say.
So we didn't. We're the same question. If you want to re-vote, the question was, are we interested in exploring to even see what it is, or who is dead set against it no matter what?
Keyword explore. So who's interested in exploring?
Exploring the
only
possibility.
Exploring.
Can we ask one question first? When you gather your information, before you have a board vote, you said that would be made available, and you could seek input from the members?
Well, this is something I think we would have definitely... I don't know whether we'd have to wait till the next annual meeting, or at least report out in some newsletters to say, post on the website, look, this is the this is the parameters in writing of what we would approve, or something, so that, those that... if there's something, I mean, we take that seriously to where, it would be a significant decision, not something that then the board's just going to do. But
can I bring something up here in general about hearing from the members, Vance? When we sent the survey out, we got exactly 12% of the surveys back. That's how interested the members are in responding, to say nothing of what they said in the survey. But my point is, I at least as one, and I'm sure speak for the rest of the board, would love to hear from the members. The problem is we hear from a handful of people that are very, very loud about whatever their pet issues are, and from different groups, that there are very, very... I mean, there are concentrations of different voices out there. We hear from those people, and 90% of the people we don't hear from. And so, you know where to find us. Of course, we know how to find you. It's a little bit more difficult going your direction than it is coming our direction. We'd love to hear from you. We hear about things when you complain about it, a few people. We don't hear a lot of positive, but we want to hear it all. And we'd love to hear. Of course, you need to know what's going on, and I agree about the minutes, and we're working through that. So you know what's going on. You especially know what's going on if you listen like we have to the entire meeting. But talk to us. Help us understand what your issues are. The board, just so you know, we put together a list of 10
most important
items. There are many, many things that need to be done, and as a board, we put together what we think the priorities are for all of the members, for all of us. And so, we'd love to hear what your response is, and if something is not on that list, it should be, let us know.
With a minimal expenditure of funds, you can increase the communications dramatically on the website.
Absolutely.
You can create polls.
Put these things on the website.
You can put a simple message board. Nobody even
it's
uses
there.
The listserv. I don't have a single. I don't think maybe Jody is the only person I know that's on the free listserv that I created when I was on the board ages ago. Now, we don't have to use that one. You could use one posted by the board, by the website, or anything else.
Or
you can set up an inexpensive message board and. You can create your own polls and say whatever, and then get a very quick thing on that, and that could go out to everybody that we have an email list about.
Let's
use technology.
I love that.
Send it out mail, and then wait 3 months for it to come back. That's not the way to go.
That's
this is 2012.
Yeah. We got most of our, just for the record, we got most of our responses via email, and there are maybe, I don't know what the percentage is, 10% that don't have email addresses that we sent.
Yeah.
A hard copy too.
So you can do what he's suggesting, put it on the web page, shoot a quick email out, hey, there's something important on the web page, check it out, thanks to board.
I mean,
at least know it's
well. We should be using
our
technology, and it may cost some extra money to put those things in and implement them, but well worth it.
I agree.
And probably will pay for itself if you consider the amount of money we pay in postage. I know, I remember being on board, that's a significant amount of
item
on our budget is postage.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Well, that would eliminate that.
Thank you.
Good idea, Dustin. Let's move.
All right.
It's time to eat.
All right. Then,
are you going to go back to the vote thing? Because
we got to
always get off topic.
So, we thought we'd just look up some things and just put it out and let everybody make
it. Well, I mean, that's...
We'll waste our time. We'll go ahead and waste our time. And
so we're not going to vote.
Well, no. I mean, I will be willing... If you're just willing to go out and if you just want to investigate it, then I'll change my vote.
I'll in favor of at least investigating it. I mean, I'll at least get some and report by the website, you know, what we're talking, at least, you know, dollars per day or, you know, I don't know how much interest. I mean, like I said, there would be a limit. They're not going to be here very much, I mean, because they are, you know, moving. And then we can look with some of you mapping and stuff and say, here would be a proposed thing. Who are the neighbors that would maybe have a concern about it? But like I said, my only position is just like the other things. I think that we're better off proactively trying to work with things than just do it. Like I said, we have at least a dozen pieces of ground that is adjacent to or in holdings within Deer Springs that have nothing to do with us that doesn't prevent them from going and buying or leasing that ground, and then we would have no control whatsoever. And somewhat, then there's the idea, well, you guys won't work with us, so we don't want to hear whatever you complain about. We're not going to ever cooperate, and there's no need to be good neighbors. You don't want to work with us anyway. I mean, that's just human nature. And so that's where a lot of these things, I think we could get further by trying to at least cooperate to some degree. But
all right. So we had 17.
The PA was 17. Anybody
wants
to
know,
does not want us to
flat out
know? Doesn't want us to check it out.
Who wants us to vote no to even check it out?
Standing firm, I like it!
Two. All right. Thank you, guys. Anything else anybody wants to bring up real quick before we make a motion to close this meeting?
We've got to do business.
Yeah, that's what we are. That's what we've been talking.
My turn?
Oh, go ahead.
I just like to check. As one of the counselors, there was two candidates that were within one vote, and I think it could be which a recount should be done on those two candidates.
Okay, was the board roll?
Sorry, tell me your name.
Arlene.
Arlene, sorry.
It's easy to get muddled.
And she said what?
She wants a recount.
A recount on?
The third and fourth place. Okay.
86 made
17. Oh, okay. I think you just did that again, didn't you?
Well, no, that she didn't. That's where they had the three counts. And but Linda took that, she keeps that file for reference.
So
didn't she take it with her?
She must have developed
that. That's why they asked me to look at it. You know, we always have a, that's why we have three counters. Two of the three matched. There was one that was less. And so, for the record, we've been requested to have a recount, and we can go through and try
do
to
do that again if you want.
Yeah, and recount that.
Yeah, recount with the one and two.
Right, just those two. Okay, and that's
okay. I put third and fourth place. Okay, thanks.
That's fine. We'll do that. Yes.
How confident are you in your count?
I'm quite confident.
Okay, because the way it was announced was that I just you know looked at it. Right.
She said because there's the third and fourth place had a discrepancy.
Well, that, like Linda said, it was very close and within to still recount that and so we can do that.
We'll take care of that. Yes. Oh, sorry. One more question on the subject.
No, just one more question. Different subject. Grading. Road grading. Are we still trying to get to far north?
Name, please.
Michael.
Jennifer
Calabini on lot 215.
Okay.
Just trying to make sure that the far northwest lot gets graded at least once a year. It gets very little traffic. I think we're the only ones up there. Just trying to make sure it doesn't get lost on the
street. Well, that's why we reported real quick before. I mean, really, there's been no road grading at all on the ranch until the last week or so with this rain and stuff. I mean, the current project is restructuring the north end of Meadow Canyon Road and putting some gravel on it. But with, again, the change in caretakers here, and we had to do some fairly major rebuild of the road grader. So it actually was hauled into town, and it just came back to the ranch.
Chris has really got a big hold on that grader. He's learned it real well in the short time he's had it, and it's remarkable what he's already picked up on it. So,
then we can get it pushed off. Okay.
Beyond your lot?
Beyond, further down.
Yeah, I thought just the next lot from yours.
It's like, it's actually one past yours.
Right, right. I was up there,
exactly.
A week or so ago, and I saw that.
I've never heard anybody go beyond
your lot. What's
that?
Okay.
Okay.
Mike.
Who's asleep? Mike and Kathy Duvall, we own lot 160, which is the lowest lot on the ranch right over here. As you come down the hill, we're right on the left.
Mike. Google Alert.
We Google Alert for that.
160.
We have had what I consider to be a pretty serious problem with the cattle. It's happened. I'm gonna read this to you. There's some pictures of the damage. It's happened 2 years in a row now, and I'm just gonna take a second to quickly read this so the board in particular can get a perspective on it.
Okay.
Here's some more pictures if you wanna pass them around. Deer Springs Ranch 4, Kathy and I on lot 160, adjacent to association land. Last year we had cattle come onto our property and trample most of our usable 20 acres.
Wow.
They did tree damage and left their manure everywhere. We spent several days cleaning it all up and trimming the damaged trees. We didn't mention it to anyone, which was fine. This year it got worse. They ate over $100 worth of stacked, covered, and tied down hay for our horses. The land is trampled badly, everywhere. Because it's shady over there.
Yeah.
And they, want to get out. And I don't blame them for wanting to get out of the sun. 10 solar lights were ruined and other decorative items knocked over, damaged. There's manure everywhere, including on the seats of the picnic tables.
Oh.
I mean, I don't know why they back up and take care of their businesses.
Oh, man, they
stopped
there.
We had to clean and remove it from all the areas that we use on a regular basis. They stopped what hay they didn't eat into the ground. We were molded under the sand. We spent 2 days raking or removing it from our high-use areas, and there's still more to do. Many, and I mean many, scrub oak trees were eaten and stripped of their leaves. Like the first 12 inches or so, they just ate it back. Other pines had branches busted from where they were scratched against them, probably 15 to 20 trees, where they just, you know, they lean into them and they scratch and they bust off pretty good size branches. You see the photos. We know the Utah is a no-fence state, but it just doesn't seem right for DSR lotters to have their private property damaged in this way, especially, you know, from the cattle operation, basically, where it's providing a nice income. We fully support the cattle being there and the substantial revenue that they bring to the ranch, and we always will support that, no matter what happens to our property. We really believe in that. In the last 5 years, we've been at DSR 56 times. Like other lot owners, we've worked hard to fix up and beautify our property. It's been 5 years of hard work, and we all go through that. We know that. To see the land damaged because the cattle want to get out of the sun, it just doesn't seem fair. And we don't have any natural feed on our property. So they're not coming in to eat.
The hay?
Yeah. And then, you know, part of that was my mistake because I got horse corrals. I should have put it inside of the horse corrals. That was my mistake, Brian. So good point. Mm-hmm. In the future, if we leave anything there, you know, over a period of time, we will definitely move it in. Here's our request. Run a three-wire fence line along our ranch property road west across Quarter Horse Lane. I can just summarize this. We had the same fella Dale used to do the Slide Canyon workout, and I've used him for work at our place over north of St. George.
Are you talking about Taylor?
No, it's
Lloyd Jessup.
Oh, Lloyd Jessup.
And I put him and Dale together, and he did a lot of work for Dale. As far as I know, Dale was happy with the work. And I've referred him to other people. He really does a great job. He's extremely good on fencing. He's good on custom log work. If anybody saw that custom log picnic table on Slide, he built that. Anyway, he's a really good guy. But I met with him yesterday, and I got a price from him on, and this will mean a lot to some of you because you don't know how our roads lie, but our roads into our property are ranch roads. Okay, and it encompasses six lots. Two on our side, and Linda's, and a few parts, and a few others down the other road. He agreed to a price, but I'll tell you in a minute, to run three-strand fencing with stripped, heavy cedar posts every 30 feet. Stripped meaning they're linseed oiled, and they're really attractive, with T-posts in between the 30 feet. He agreed to build two 24-foot wide gates that would swing and come together in the two places where we'd have to have a gate to keep the cattle from going into all six of those properties, okay? And he would build those gates out of substantial cedar as well, strip. He'd use big cedar posts to hang them from. They wouldn't be locked, but, you know, when the cattle were in the area, we'd just close them. The landowners would close them, wrap a chain around them, and anybody could get in or out as needed, okay? He agreed to do all of that, and it's about 1,500 feet of fencing. I mean, it's a fairly sizable piece of ground for $3,500. Labor, materials, travel, everything. Now, my wife will kill me for this one because she pays the bills and I don't. But if the board was willing, I'd be happy to pay 50% of that and not less, ask any other landowners to pay anything. If the board could see their way clear to split it with me, 50-50, and he could get on it, you know, right away, timing-wise. And it would solve, our lot is not the only one. I was on Linda's lot with her this morning. I wish she were still here. She showed me the cattle marks all around her place, too, so. Anyway, that's my situation, and I open it up to the board for consideration and comments from anybody.
Yeah.
So there are issues. My name is Lynette Foster, but I don't know what to do when they. I mean, you can see five of them all the way out here, all the way up on that hill, and then all the way east. How can you restrict them from doing that? I mean, with the gate.
Well, and that's where, you know, and Mike's aware of this. I mean, state law would require anybody, if you don't want something on your ground, it's your responsibility to fence them off.
Fence it out, yeah.
We're at a problem right now as a ranch, and that's why I reported on it. We don't have really still to right now any one pasture to say, yep, this is properly fenced. And to keep them from anything, we're trying to develop that rotation, and we've done a lot of work. We've just got to finish it. We need to work with Mike on your proposed alignment on that fence and where it would tie off, because I don't know exactly, you know, from your email and your, you know, things where we're looking at that. But I do think that it's important to see, you know, as more people develop their property and put in something that makes a nice picnic site, and you're not here to patrol it all the time, it is frustrating to come out and have your stuff damaged or whatever. Has there been any other members here that have had significant problem? You know, we did have quite a bit of problem in the goat days, because again, they were climbing on top of the vehicles and doing a significant amount of Well, and that's my concern with this. I mean, I don't know. You're not going to hold any of these longhorns with a three wire fence.
They jump these fences as we have here now.
You know, and so
they'll jump the fences.
This wooden fence right here is as significant and as big as any fence on the ranch, and I've witnessed longhorn after longhorn jump over this fence.
Yeah.
Right here.
Yeah. Now, and a lot of it depends on if it's out in the middle of the range and they're really not good versus what's around the meadow is a six wire fence, because if it's got good feed or they're trying to get to something and they're, you know, pushed, then you've got to have a bigger, higher, stronger, thicker fence. But has there been other discussion?
I don't know their lot number offhand, but Rick and Nancy Nielsen, would that be in the affected area?
Yeah, oh yeah.
They're all fenced in. They have a cattle guard. I talked to Rick.
Yeah, they fixed that, and they're still different.
Yeah, they need to work on the cattle guard, but that's the only access point in that whole 60 acres, is that cattle guard.
I mean, would you move those pictures out of the sun for me?
Okay, we'll work with you, Mike, on...
We'll see what we can do with this.
We'll talk. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe before you leave, and you can walk through over that.
Yeah, and we've got this map. That's what I want to...
I'm sure you're working.
Okay. Well, and we can look on the alignment on this, because we just paid Taylor. He just fenced your west boundary. I mean, that is between, your lots and that neighboring property, and that's one that he fixed that, we just fenced and did your west boundary, and so if we cut across the south, I think what you're kind of saying, to keep the cows up, but again, that's not going to keep ours or any neighbors from coming up around the north unless it completely gets, enclosed. Again, those hills north of yours are steep enough, very seldom would they ever come down or off of that, but we could look at that. My concern, in this case or any of the others, is for a long time we didn't have any fences going up Metal Canyon. Then we fenced it, but we couldn't keep any gates closed. I mean, we didn't have enough traffic, and so we've gone through and replaced most of those with cattle guards. There's still one cattle guard we really should put there at the south end of the meadow, because having a gate with the number of members that are here is more of a frustration, because they're just left open or something. And so if we come across there and there's three different gates to access into those...
There'd only really be one on Quarter Horse Lane. The other one's just our driveway.
Well,
I'll show you when
we'll look at that. Any other comments on that, or other people have had issues?
How much does the ranch get money-wise for those cattle per year?
Our current lease is about $18,000, I believe.
And it runs for 10 years.
When we took that over before, we were getting about $6,000. So that's one thing that, what we have, we've about, tripled the income on that. And again, that's another, at least a thing that I'm happy to voice here. I mean, as the ranch evolves over the 40 years that I've watched it, and I've talked through with people that said, look, if we're bringing in $5,000 a year in cattle grazing and it costs us $5,000 of fencing, why don't we tear down all the fence and just get rid of the cows? And there's some members that say that. But again, what is the value of the beauty of the Longhorns, the ranch feel? I mean, because to a lot of people, that's a sacred cow. That's why they bought here, is to see and feel and have some of the operations. There is a lot of problems. For example, our grazing. Deer Springs is 8,000 acres of private ground. We lease and control about 50,000 acres. That's going to be, just like I said with the Wingate group, that's going to be grazed whether it's us or not. If we said, let's just kick off the cows, it's the same. I've dealt with, a lot of you are familiar with Best Friends Animal Sanctuary in Kanab. Again, they're do not kill any animal, don't eat meat, very vegetarian. My personal, I've got 120 acres next to them. We're neighbors and run cows. They run cows because either they're going to run cows or they're going to have no control of who the government has running cows in there. And so we have to maintain the grazing lease. If we don't run it, then they'll just have, the government will, turn it over to somebody else. And that's something that, again, is whether it's the Grand Canyon Trust in the Grand Canyon National Park that have bought those leases, and these are the biggest, most anti-grazing people, environmental movement. They're all operating cattle because they found out, if we don't, we lose control. It will still just be turned over to somebody else. So I do think some of these areas, like Mike's lot, that has no feed value, and it becomes more of a problem for his personal use, we've got to try to deal with that. But again, just keeping our fences built and maintained what we need, we haven't caught up with. We've got to be careful as soon as, we obviously can't, as the board and the budget say, we're going to go and start fencing, everybody's properties. For surely won't work. So
the thing is, too, if we don't control the land by grazing on them, our grass and our fire hazard is going to get out of control. Then we have a bigger problem even yet.
Okay, just a correction for the income. It's $11,000 for this year. And I think it goes up another $1,000 next year.
It does a step up.
It's a step, something every couple of years.
Yeah, step up every year.
I was rolling together because I had that significant figure in my mind with the wildlife and our hunting angle.
Right. Yeah, with
wildlife and grazing, that is the combination because we do that same by doing the grazing and having the range plan. That's what qualifies us for the deer tag. Mm-hmm. So, all right.
I'm getting melted.
We're in lot 5, and we've got a small stream that crosses our property. Upstream of that, there's a whole bunch of debris. You're probably familiar with dust in that channel. I'm wondering what's going to happen with it.
The debris, there's no water. There's no water. That's getting ready to have a burn on that one.
Okay, you're going to have appropriate permits or
whatever. We're waiting for the open permit that's coming up.
It's pretty quick.
It's coming really quick. We're just in the process of cleaning that up right now. That was a hand-dug waterway back in the days when they settled that area.
Yeah, we still get a lot of water down through there.
There hasn't been water wrecked. That one has plenty. It's channeled out through there.
There might be sheet flows that come through there, but we still get a lot of water through there.
But it's slash and trees.
What's going to happen with that? Yeah,
we're going to
burn it. I'm concerned you're not burning my trees in my cabin.
Yeah, no, we're going to have all sorts of stuff
there. We're having a hot dog roll
that
way over the house.
No.
I do have one piece.
That is a cleanup process in place right now. So.
And I've been in consultation with the Podunkers over here, and they would like to host that youth group on lot 1.
All right! Thank you!
So anyway, I sealed the deal for you.
All right!
Just don't leave that.
All right.
Okay. Now we have one more. Frank. Bill. Do you want us to take care of you right there?
Yeah, this is a board.
Okay, I will finish that up.
Okay, is there anything else before we adjourn this meeting?
Okay.
For lunch?
He's making a motion.
Let's make a motion to
Anybody want to make a motion to close this meeting? I'll make a motion to...
Mark, motion to close.
Anybody want to second the motion? All in favor of closing this meeting?
Aye.
All right, unanimous. All right, thank you, people. Appreciate everybody.
What time is it?
Thanks for what you guys are doing.
Yes, thank you. A lot of words. Yes,
what time is it?
Are you taking off?